thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole. I'm your host, Will T, and Ray Jeezy are out. We're part of Sports Journey, so make sure you check us out at sportsjourney.com. You'll find all kinds of sports content, especially for your DMV sports teams. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. It's been a long day. It's been a long couple of days now in the DMV, man, in terms of sports teams. You got the Washington Wizards on a three-game losing streak. Right now, they're in a tight one with the Chicago Bulls. But most importantly, I guess it is what it is, man. Dwayne Haskins has been released by the Washington football team, and a lot of people have things to say about that. You know, I have a lot to say about it. You know, being an individual who's covered the team and, you know, who on this podcast, we feature a lot of Washington football talk. So we got a segment for you, man. We're going to keep it real, have all the smoke for you. But, you know, we're going to try to keep it what it is. And we got a lot in the NBA. The first week of the NBA started off. So it's a lot going on. But I'm going to give you the rundown. But, you know, we call it the pregame. Will T's not here, so I'm going to say it like this. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington football team releasing quarterback Dwayne Haskins, the team losing to the Carolina Panthers 20-13, and their win or go home game, big game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Sports Journey Washington football team reporter Lake Lewis Jr. Will join us for that segment at 8:20. Sports Journey's Washington Wizards reporter Karita Parks will join me to talk about the start of the Washington Wizards season. Right now, again, I mentioned the Wizards are 0-3. Finally, we'll talk about the first week of the NBA season and more with Quarterly Report podcast Armand Lee. Armand is the host of the Quarterly Report podcast, so make sure you check him out and make sure you check out that segment. It should be going down around 8:40. But first, we are expecting Lake Lewis to be on, so he'll be calling in anytime now. But we'll talk about Dwayne Haskins being released. I know a lot of individuals have been kind of happy about what, you know, Dwayne being released. Because it needed to happen, to be honest with you. Dwayne Haskins struggled throughout, you know, his tenure here in D.C. He had a good run towards the end of last season with Kevin O'Connell as the offensive coordinator. But it comes to just being mature. He had an opportunity with Alex Smith going down in two games, to be honest with you, just to show something. He showed a little bit at the Seattle Seahawks. But then, you know, have an opportunity to clinch the playoffs against the Carolina Panthers. He didn't do it, man. He didn't come to play. He didn't bring his big boy pants. And this is coming after, you know, all the talk about what happened, you know, with him being at a strip club or a strip party, excuse me, without a mask. And this is an opportunity. That was an opportunity for him to show out, and he didn't. And it's just a sad situation for Dwayne Haskins. Well, for Dwayne Haskins, it's an unfortunate situation for Dwayne Haskins because, you know, as a young dude, he wanted to play well. He just didn't. It's just not in him at this particular point in time to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And anybody who, you know, you may be in Dwayne's camp, and I am an individual who, if you've seen me on social media, Twitter, or whatnot, I've been an individual who's been pro Dwayne Haskins in terms of rooting for the young man to, you know, try to see him play at a high level, be that guy. And he just wasn't and isn't. You know, at this particular point in time, he's just not a starting quarterback in the NFL. There's so many things this guy does wrong as a quarterback. He's not accurate. And the most important thing as a quarterback, I feel like you got to have confidence and not talk confidence. You got to have confidence. I don't want to hear, I, too many times in the real world, we got dudes who talk that talk but don't really walk that walk. And Dwayne Haskins, from what I've seen, and again, I'm not dogging a young dude. I'm not that individual. But I will talk about what you see in sports and what you see from dudes. And he's a guy that does a lot of talking. And sometimes, you know, when you're confident, you can have a bad play, but you bounce back because you can see it, because you got that swag, you got that dog in you. And in games with Dwayne Haskins, you see that when he throws a pick, it's the woe is me mentality. It's not like, okay, I'm about to go get it. It's more like, oh, man, this can't happen again. And you don't want your quarterback to have that mentality, because once they have that kind of mentality, it's a quicksand effect. What that means is that, you know, one incident is going to compound into something worse. So it's just a snowballing effect, and you're sinking and sinking. You just can't get out of it. And that's what it looked like with Dwayne Haskins. It just looked like he kept sinking and sinking and sinking, and he couldn't find a way out of it. And he kept panicking, so that made him sink even more. So it just, you hope that a young man, you know, finds a situation where he can become, I guess, an opportunity to become a starting quarterback in the NFL. But at this particular point in time, because that's all we have, right? We can only go off of what we see right now. And at this particular point in time, he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. Will that change? Who knows? Again, he can go to an ideal situation. From what I've seen right now, and it's hard to say he'll get an opportunity to be a starting quarterback anytime soon. If he wants to be a backup, I mean, I think that's, you know, that's an opportunity. There's so many, to be honest with you, there's so many bad quarterbacks in the NFL. He could be a backup quarterback. He can definitely have, it just depends on the situation he goes to and if he's willing to humble himself. You know, again, he did a lot of talking in terms of after being released. He posted comments on social media saying that he apologized to the Washington Football Organization. He understood what happened. He took total responsibility of what happened within his tenure here. And he believes that he's going to learn from this situation to become a better quarterback. And and you hope that's true. You really do. You hope it's true, and you hope it works out for the young man. Cause I do. I'm sorry. I do hope it works out for him. And we're speaking of a dude. I'm a Michigan fan, and if I can root for an Ohio State kid, you know, it is what it is. But you do hope that he turns it all around, because I don't want anybody to act like this dude is an evil individual. He hasn't broken any laws. He hasn't committed any crimes. He's not addicted to drugs or anything like that. And I'm not knocking any of that. I'm just saying that people make it seem as if like this dude is the villain, like he's the ultimate villain, and he's not. He's young. He's 20. He's what 23. And I think a lot of times we forget that, you know, when you were 23, you did a lot of dumb crap. You know what I'm saying? Like him being in a strip party with no mask. I mean, he's a 23-year-old. So I didn't really look at it like, oh, it's the end all be all. But how I looked at it in terms of football is this is a situation where you have an opportunity to change the narrative. You have that opportunity to change the narrative, to show folks, all right, I am ready to be a mature player. I'm a ball out. I'm going to show you what I learned. And then you digress, because honestly, that may have been one of your worst football games against the Carolina Panthers, where you needed a win, get your team into the playoffs. And that didn't happen for Dwayne. And I don't want to keep hope. I don't want to talk all about Dwayne on this show, because again, he's not the Washington football team quarterback. He is not part of this team. I don't like talking about backups. I don't like talking about dudes who potentially could be an XFL quarterback. That's not my thing. That's not the way I roll. But again, I do hope this individual does get it all together. Hopefully he gets on another team next season. I mean, he cleared waivers. When he was released, he cleared waivers. So any team can now get him. No one picked him up. I mean, there are teams out there that, you know, maybe interested in getting a Dwayne. I heard somebody on Twitter said San Francisco. And I'm like, yeah, that's something Kyle Shanahan would do, because he's uber petty. Like, Shanahan is the petty dude. Like, I could see him doing that, thinking, you know what, this dude left, He got cut out of DC on bad terms. I'm going to pick him up, and I'm going to make him look good. I can see Kyle doing that. I mean, because Lord knows Jimmy G didn't look like the best quarterback, and Kyle had made Jimmy G look like a star, and then now we see he's kind of digressed. But I can see Kyle doing it. Like, I really could. Let's go to that Carolina Panthers game. I want to talk about that game. You saw that – we saw in the game where Dwayne was pulled for Heinicke. Taylor Heinicke, and Heinicke played well, made a bunch of big passes, actually had an opportunity to make the game uber tight if Cam Sims, I believe, in the fourth quarter catches a easy bomb that would have led to a touchdown. And, you know, to me, he had a good showing. He anticipated well. He found the open receivers. He did what he needed to do. It was a winnable game. I wasn't a big fan of the play calling. I think that a lot of times, yeah, we blame the quarterback play, but the play calling needs to improve. When you have a team, and I believe at the time the Panthers were 27th against the run, and you're running pretty well in that first drive, the first couple of drives you had in the game, you got to continue running the football. Turner gets fixated with passing the football, but when you got a team like that, their weakness is, you know, stopping the run. You have to make them stop. That's the one thing I loved about Coach Gibbs. And I know I always talk about Coach Gibbs, but the one thing I loved about Coach Gibbs is that he harped on your weaknesses. And if you couldn't stop the pass, he would pass the football. If you couldn't stop the run, he would run. And he would run religiously. It's not the sexy thing to do, but he would run. And he would run 24/7 until you stop it. He would probably run the same play over and over, counter trade, gut, up the middle, all of that, just until you stopped it. And if you didn't stop it, he would keep doing it. And the one thing I wish Scott Turner would do is that when you play a team, a weak team that can't stop the run, I would love for Scott Turner just to kind of take advantage of that situation and just run the football. Because you do have, you know, you brought in Antonio Gibson to play. Like, he could have sat out for real for just that limited amount of carries. Like, he averaged 6.1 yards a carry. I believe 10 carries for 61 yards. Yo, run him. Because you run him, you have a good opportunity, even when Dwayne messing up, to stay in the game and control the narrative of that football game. And you didn't do that. So I have a little blame with Scott Turner. Also, I got blame. You know, a lot of people, we gas up receivers, you know, and they make big plays. We say, oh, he's going to be the next number two. But Cam Sims, like I mentioned, the drop pass. Like, you had a drop pass and Dwayne rolled out to the pocket, out of the pocket, hit you in a bread basket. You dropped it. That's a big boy wide receiver play. That's a play that number two wide receiver should make. If you're going to be a possession wide receiver, because no one's asking you to be a speed demon, you got to make that catch. I'm sorry. You got to make that catch. We're here to keep it real, fellas. And ladies, we're here to keep it real. We got to hold everybody accountable. You got to make that catch. You got to make that catch. When your team needs you, that's a touchdown. You're down 20-6. You catch that, it's 20-13, and you have enough time to get the ball back to have a drive to potentially tie the football game up. So, yeah, that's on you. You got to, Cam, you got to get better, man. You got to have, you can't be 50-50. Like, you would make a great play, but then on the flip side, you make a bad play. You're literally like 50-50 for real. So you just got to step up. I mean, I love it. I love the way you stepped up, because you play with heart, and I love that. I love that you play with heart. But now it's time to keep those hands. Like, those hands got to be legit. Like, for you to take it to the next level, your hands got to be legit. Because as a wide receiver, that's what you're known for real, bro. Running routes and use those hands. If you dropping everything, no one can rely on you, then that's a problem, bro. That's a serious problem. So hopefully Cam Sims gets it together. Steven Sims, another Sims boy. Steven Sims Jr. So much, man. Like, you've muffed enough punts so far this season to a point where I'm like, if I'm Coach Rivera, I don't know if I can trust you. That play changed the whole dynamics of the football game. We talk about the poor play of Dwayne, but that fumble for a touchdown changed the whole dynamics of the football game. And once that happened, it was a wrap. I mean, it was a wrap. So we need Steven Sims Jr. to step up as a punt returner and also as a pass catcher, because you're dropping enough footballs this season. And when you do catch the football, go upfield. There's a lot of dancing out the slot that limits you from getting extra yards. Get the ball, go up the field. Like your this offense can't afford to not take advantage of what the defense gives you. You have to take advantage of it. So Steven Sims Jr., you got to step up in that aspect because this team needs you. Because and for the return, for the fumble, the kickoff for the fumble, the punt return fumble for a touchdown, bruh, like you should have fair caught that anyway. I don't even get why you wanted that. You was it was in your mind to think about running that anyway. So it's just a lot. Like this team needed this football game, and they were lackadaisical in certain aspects of this in that game against the Carolina Panthers. And also, let's go to the defense. They were good. The defense was good. I don't want to say it was bad because Chase Young was a monster. Forced fumbles, sacks. The dude was a monster, man. But there's this theme where they're playing mobile quarterbacks. And I want Teddy wasn't as electric as a mobile quarterback, but he did make a play or two. But they have to shut that down because they haven't beat a legit mobile quarterback this season, and they're gonna see one next week. So, this week for real, they're gonna see one this week. So it's got to go down. Like they gotta shut this crap down. Like they gotta shut down this and change this narrative of them not being able to stop a mobile quarterback. Because they have to do it. Because it's a win or go home type of game. So, but I liked what Taylor Heinicke did. I think that, can't play next, I feel like, he's capable of helping this team win a football game. But you got to make it easy. Scary Terry didn't play in a game against the Panthers. He's needed. I think we all have seen that. I mean, the wide receivers weren't making enough plays, and Scary Terry makes plays. And one thing Scary does, he allows for McKissick to get open. He allows for Logan Thomas to get open because he garners so much attention. Like, he garners so much attention. You can't focus on McKissick when you gotta worry about Scary Terry being able to go deep or running those precise routes. You gotta worry about him. You gotta pay attention to him. He's the one you pay attention to. But when he's out, you then change your attention to, okay, now we can play the flat routes with McKissick or Gibson, or we can pay attention more to Logan Thomas. When you have Scary Terry, he is the one you think about. So it allows the other players to eat. So if he's on the field, he's a must, man. He's a must on the field. So they need Scary Terry against the Eagles. The Eagles game is what's happening now on Sunday. Move to Sunday night prime time. You know, Hurts is going to be in the building. I mean, we're going to Philly, so we'll see Hurts in the building in Philadelphia. But it's a game they need, man. And the key to a victory is, one, Alex Smith's got to be there. Like, this Alex got to be there. He's got to be there. You know, I know Taylor Heinicke has showed us something. He showed us something. And I have some faith that he can pull it out if he is the starter. But I feel 110% better if Alex Smith is the starting quarterback in that game. And if he's the starting quarterback in that game, I believe that Alex Smith will get this team a victory. There's a reason why Alex just wins. It may not be sexy, but the dude just wins. And that defense has to ball out. Like, this has to be the most dominant effort they've put throughout this season. And this is not the toughest team, but this has to be the most dominant effort they put during the season. It has to be better than the Pittsburgh Steelers game, to be honest with you. Because there's just so much pressure in this game, and they have to make it easy for the offense. They got to create turnovers. That front four has to put constant pressure. The linebacker play has to be better. It's good to have Holcomb back because Holcomb was needed. You saw Hudson play start in the game for Michigan. I mean, he was okay in the game. Nothing special, but he was okay. I need the safeties to play better. Reeves didn't have his best game, but Cam Curl continues to play well. So these individuals will need to continue to play decent and good football for this team to win the game and get to the postseason, because they win there in the NFC East. I mean, they win the NFC East and they're the NFC East champions. And it's an opportunity for this team to do that. So if this team is able to do it, and they can win, you know, they can beat the Philadelphia Eagles, they're in. And all is right with the world. But they need Scary Terry. They need the defense to have an elite game. And we'll see from there. Because my bold prediction, Washington wins. Because there's always like 23 or 20 to whatever. But my prediction is Washington wins the game 23-14. And then the DMV area will be lit and happy. And all is right with the world. But the Washington Wizards have started off the season 0-3. Is it time to kind of panic? Sports Journey's Washington Wizards reporter, Karita Parks, will answer this question after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole. Will T and Ray Jeezy are out. We're part of Sports Journey. Check us out at sportsjourney.com. Right now, I have another Sports Journey individual. Sports Journey's Washington Wizards reporter, Karita Parks, on the line. What's going on, Karita?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well.
That's good. So, all right, so the Washington Wizards, they're playing the Chicago Bulls right now. But before we get to that game, the Wizards have started 0-3 this season. Why are they 0-3?
Defense is the biggest issue that they are having, in my opinion. They've had leads in all the games that they've lost. They have had leads, and they have let the game slip away in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. They are not closing out games. It's just unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. Like, you should be able to close out games, but you're letting these other teams come back, because as soon as you score a bucket, they score a bucket. Mm. You're not playing any defense.
So is it the same old problem last season? Because last season they weren't playing defense either. Is it just because
it's the last two seasons.
Okay. I'm trying to figure it out, because I believe they hired a new dude to help out with the defense. If it's the same thing, it's like, what's going on?
I have seen no improvement. We saw flashes of defense. I've seen some flashes of defense. In the first game, I was like, okay, they're playing defense. Then it all went away, like I said, in that fourth quarter. But, you know, I also, in addition to the defense, Coach Brooks and his lineups, it's like he's still experimenting, and we see lineups that work and then he doesn't use them anymore. So I'm not clear what's going on with the decision making as well in the fourth quarter, because there was a point in the Orlando game where you had Brad on the bench. Thomas Bryant was on the bench. Howell, who was playing very well, was on the bench. And that was the game that Westbrook wasn't playing. So why are these guys on the bench when you need them the most?
And you're talking, and that's which game was that? I think I watched that game, because I think Drew Gooden was a lot to say about the substitution patterns in that game.
That was the last Orlando game. I mean, the lineups were questionable in the first Orlando game, but when you saw it again in the second game, it's like, okay.
It's wild, because so I want to go back to the defense, because you're right, because this has been happening way too much throughout the last some odd years. Is it the players, or is it just Brooks's terminology. But I mean, because I'm trying to like put two and two together, because Brooks is the common denominator. That's one. He's the common denominator. And I'm going to go ham on him later, but he's a common.
I was like, I know where this is going.
Yeah, I'm about to get on him later, but that's not now though. Like, but he's the common denominator. And then you look at, like, I'm trying to get the players, because I got the similar players. So my thought is he valuing, I want to say, is Brooks valuing offensive players rather than defensive players?
That's a good question. I would say yes, but maybe that's because that's what he is better at. However, he knows that defense is a problem. Mm-hmm. And so if you know defense is a problem, you have to make those adjustments. I don't care if you value offensive players more. All the offense in the world isn't going to help you if you can't defend.
That's true. I'm trying to get into Scott Brooks.
We're trying to work through this.
I'm trying to, man, because look, I got a lot. You know, I'm not a Washington Wizards fan. I cover the team, though. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I cover the team. I want these Washington fans to feel good, man. Like, I just want them to feel good. Like, I want them to feel good. I feel bad.
They'll feel
for
good
them.
If it's a win. But you just also don't want to see your team leading for 90% of the game, not even 95% of the game, mm-hmm. and lose in like the last 5 minutes. That is what happened with Philadelphia, the 76ers, and that first Orlando game. The second Orlando game, they didn't lose in the last 5 minutes, but they lost in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So down the stretch, it has, for me, it's a combination of the coaching and the players.
Yeah.
Because from a coaching perspective, we talked about the whole lineup situation and the substitution patterns. Mm-hmm. But for as a player, you got to keep that same energy. You got to have some fight in you. And you don't have enough fight, in my opinion, if you're allowing teams to dominate you in the last 4 or 5 minutes. And you're sending teams to the free throw line and letting them get easy points. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have turnover issues too. So defense is a big, big problem, but there's still issues with the turnovers. And like I said, sending teams to the free throw line, giving them easy points.
It's a wild thing. Cause again, you played the Magic twice. The reason why I'm saying it's so wild, because you had the Magic twice, and that's a team that many folks had the Wizards being better than. And then that Magic beat them, they beat them twice. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like at home.
For the sixth time in a row.
Exactly. Sixth time in a row, and you beat them twice at home. You have two games, and granted, there's no crowds, and that plays a part too, but it's still at home. It's in your court. You practice here. You know the rims and whatnot. So you had them twice already, and you lost to them twice, and you had one, you know, Markelle Fultz, who's from this area, who's from the DMV, from PG County, and he balled out. But you got Bradley Beal and on a contract situation, knowing that he needs to see something to make sure if he wants to stay or not. And mm-hmm. starting the season 0-3, I'm sure Bradley Beal like, yo, bruh. Is this a good look?
Oh no, it's not a good look in keeping him starting 0-3. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, yeah, I said this the other day, but Brad, he's been averaging at least over 30 points. One game he had almost 40 points. It was 39 points, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then you had Russ in two of those games who had his triple doubles, but were still losing.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. You know what? Okay, so this is the thing. I don't want Wizards fans to like to say I'm hating or whatnot, because I'm not hating. This is just facts.
Okay.
Like, you can, I'm gonna say this again. You can score 30, but it's a different 30. You know what I'm saying? Like the game against the Sixers, I want to say I thought Brad had a solid. That was a solid 30. Like, that was a winning 30, right? To me, I think it was a winning 30. But there is a difference where scoring 30 and not playing the best, because you're just the scorer on the squad. Like, you're the scorer, so they're gonna get you. You're gonna get touches, because I believe his shooting percentage hasn't been that good. Like, his shooting percentage hasn't been that good. So if you're the scorer, you're gonna put up 30. Like, if you're the one, like, think about it. The only individuals are really shooting the ball, because like this everybody eats mentality, which is only one person that eats on the squad for real.
It's Brad.
Brad eats. So he's gonna give you 30. I'm going to reference James Harden because I watched James Harden not too long ago. And I was like, bruh, when he played fat, sloppy James Harden, because he's fat this season. He against the Blazers, against Dame and CJ McCollum, when everybody had COVID on their squad, literally willed that team to overtime and almost beat the Portland Trail Blazers. Dude gave them 40. And that was 40 real. That's a real 40. That 40 was not stats 40. That was 40 to will your team to possibly a victory. Because again, you're playing with dudes that probably won't even see the court when your real G's are out of being quarantined and ready to play in the season. And he willed that team against the Portland Trail Blazers, who many think are going to make a deep run in the Western Conference. He willed that team to almost beat them. Almost beat that squad. So
pretty much by himself.
By himself.
Yeah, because it was CJ McCollum who had got that shot.
Exactly. And CJ was going, and CJ was killing too. And my thing is like, all right, that's when we talk stats and we talk about putting 30, 40 plus, yo, that's what I'm talking. That's a winning 30. But there's the games where Brad and people are gonna look at, he scored 30. There are situations in that 30 that you'd be like, yo, that's 30, but it's not like a 30 where you dominated the game. Like, you didn't dominate the game or will your team with that 30.
I can agree with that.
Right, you agree with me? Thank you. Because I don't want people listening to say you a hater. Well, Lord, I don't have time.
I mean,
for that.
I think when you compare it to the James Harden situation, when you put it in that perspective, it's like, yeah, I mean, because there is no one else really on the Wizards squad who is much of a scorer. And even with, you know, Wizards fans might not like to hear this, but even with Russ's triple doubles, he's missing a gang of shots.
Exactly. And that's another thing. Okay. So I'm glad you, and I like Russ. All right. And I want people to notice, like, they're going to think,
exactly.
And it's not a Russ against John Wall thing. I feel like if Russ is Russ, he could, and I'm going to say this, if Russ is Russ, he's better than John Wall. Like, I'm going to be, if he's real Russ, he's better than John Wall. But the problem is he hasn't been real Russ. And in last year, he wasn't that dude. And he was still getting triple doubles. And we get fixated on triple doubles. But again, there is a different type of triple double. Like, triple doubles are hard, though. Don't get it twisted. It's hard any which way. So it's still a vicious stat to have. Like, I'm not saying that. But if any of those elements in the triple double is where you're not playing well, like, you're not, for instance, you may have 10 assists, but you have like 10 turnovers, right? That's not controlling the game. Or you may have 20 points, but like to your point, yo, you're shooting like 3 for 15, but you found a way to get 20 points, right? It's still not effective. That's not an effective triple double. It's a triple double, but it's not an effective triple double.
Right.
So he has to step up too. I agree. Like, so we can't get fixated on like these dudes putting up stats and they're doing this, that, and the other, because when you're looking at in the game in situations, they're not playing awesome basketball.
No, I mean, no one is right now.
No one. And I'm not putting on no one.
They're behind. They're trailing, like you said. You
to the Bulls.
Trailing. That's alarming to me. Because the Bulls are 0-3, just like the Wizards.
Yeah.
But they should be able to beat the Bulls. I mean, they should have been able to beat Orlando at least once.
Exactly. That's my point. I agree with you. You just got to beat Orlando just once. Like, Orlando ain't that good. We're talking – all right. So people had this team – they can get all the way up to the sixth seed, right? Like, that's, I've heard that. Like, the sixth or five seed.
We're talking about the Wizards, right?
Yeah, the Wizards, right?
Yeah.
You just lost twice to Orlando. So that makes Orlando better than you. So you're automatically lower than what you thought. Like, you're super low, because their team's better than Orlando. So now you're like, and we're looking at it from this point in the season, this part of the season, like, you're low. Like, you're very low on a totem pole of the East. So that's my thing. We got to, like, when we talk about it, we got to really break it down to a point where we can see, or we can say that this team is really where they're supposed to be at. Because I just think that and Scott Burks got to be ready because, like, hey, folks panicking. Like, folks panicking.
Oh, yeah. They definitely are. The fans especially, like, they are going off already.
So
I think it's because there was so much anticipation once you had Russ in the – like, once you got Russ, there was like so much anticipation of what he could bring to the table, right? Mm-hmm. With him and Brad together. Mm-hmm. And now you're off to an 0-3 start. So that's a huge disappointment. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I had my homie.
Everybody thought we were going to be better.
Look, hey, I don't want to say nothing. I'm just going to say this for Wizard fans. And this is throwing shade. I'm going to be real. This is throwing shade. John Wall had Scott Brooks as a coach, and he had Bradley Beal. And he still got to, and he got to the postseason. That's all I'm going to say. John Wall had Scott Brooks as a coach, and he got y'all to the postseason. And he beat the Boston Celtics, too. I mean, but he got Boston Celtics to the seventh game in a highly contested Eastern Conference semifinals. That's all I want y'all to know. I want y'all to feel that, though. I want y'all to feel that.
You know John about to fall out this season, right?
Huh? Oh, man, look.
He's about to make Washington regret that decision.
Now we about to really go in because we really throwing shade to Washington fans right now.
I'm not throwing shade.
Oh, I am. Believe me.
Realistic.
Look, you being realistic, I'm throwing shade. so, yes, you are correct. And also, I will say this. Everybody said, like, oh, man, John Wall Jay's broke. Yo, I mean, I like Russ, but how that Jay looking, though? I like Russ, but how that Jay looking compared to John Wall? Like, that was the knock on John. That's what's so funny, right? Everybody loves Russ, right? Everybody loves Russ. I love Russ, too. I love Russ. I don't even knock Russ's Jay or nothing, but everybody loves Russ. But the same folks that criticize John Wall about his Jay, they ain't saying nothing about Russ' jumper right now. Because his jumper is worse than John Wall's J in D.C., period, right now. Right now, Russell J is worse than John Wall. Uh-huh. And I'm talking about John Wall when he was healthy. It's worse than John Wall right now. Because every argument I had with somebody was like, well, John Wall can't shoot. All right. Okay, he can't shoot. Okay.
He was going to get them points if he had to drive to the basket.
I agree.
He was going to get the points. Any which way he had to.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying for all the folks out there whose knock on Wall is that he couldn't shoot, I'm just saying, what are you saying about Russ? Like, what are you saying now about Russ? Are you saying, oh, he gets rebounds? Is that your argument? Okay. He gets rebounds.
He does get rebounds.
John Wall didn't get triple doubles. John Wall gave you double doubles. So he missed. I'm sorry. John Wall just gave you 20. And 10, I'm sorry, it may be 4 rebounds. So I guess, yeah, you're right. I guess you're right. That's how I look at it. It's hilarious to me, man. Like, but again, I like Russ. I'm going to say that I like Russ. It's not a knock on Russ. I'm just speaking to the fans out there who have their way of hating on John Wall. That's who I'm looking at. I'm looking at y'all. Like, that's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to y'all. I'm not talking to Russ. I'm talking to y'all. Because y'all the same people, y'all the same ones that said, well, John Wall can't shoot. He can't do that. All right. Yeah. How that Russ 3-point percentage looking? Then you come back and holler at me about John Wall. And God forbid, if John Wall is, Kareem started off when you said John going to eat. So I'm putting that on you. If John Wall come into this season shooting 35-36% from three. Oh, y'all gonna get it. Don't mess with me. Y'all gonna get it.
You know, I can understand the concern about whether or not he would be healthy. Oh my gosh. I just saw
the dunk.
Ball.
Oh, the dunk.
So awkwardly.
Oh, I thought you saw the dunk. The dunk was mean. I didn't care about the landing. The dunk looked good though.
The way I saw his leg, I was like, I guess that's just the way he fell. But his leg, I was like, oh my. You know, I thought something just happened. But yeah, the dunk was mean. Yeah. But see, look. So anyway, I could understand them being uncomfortable with not knowing what state John would be in after his surgeries. I completely get that. But I will say this. Mm-hmm. I thought they would at least see what he was looking like this season.
Yeah. I thought so, too.
Before making that kind of decision.
Oh, they knew what they was doing. I mean, I'm going to say this. One, if you watch, and I'm sure you saw it on social media, and it's you just want to look at certain things. Not if you we're talking about athleticism. If you saw his clips on social media, you knew he was athletic. You knew he got it. You knew he had it back. Like that's not that was because
that's,
You want to see like your art like. If your argument is his jumper, you know, did he improve his jump shot? Then, yeah, it's hard to go off of clips, right? You know what I'm saying? We've seen that with Washington football quarterbacks, right? Clips can show you everything and mean little. But if we're talking about athleticism, just off of his pickup games, then you can say, yeah, he got it back. Like, that wasn't hard to see. But them letting him go had nothing to do with basketball. Nothing to do with basketball. I don't care anybody tells me. It's nothing to do with basketball. Because you gave up a first-round pick, too. And Russ, and if we're being completely honest with the situation, you just wanted this contract gone, period. And Houston was happy to take it because they knew what he can do.
Of course.
They knew what he can do. And it is what it is. Like, you know, Kevin Durant comes out because he was playing his pickup events and whatnot. If KD was out telling the same folks, John look good, then and KD don't lie about a player looking good, then you already know that John was ready. Like, he was ready. So
right. But like you said, even in the clips that we saw, I mean, clips are clips, so you can't completely go off a clip.
Mm-hmm.
But John, you know, he was in shape. He looked, like you said, he looked like he was back.
Yeah.
The last event that he had here, I said to one of my colleagues, if they, because this was before the trade was announced, mm-hmm. I was like, if they trade him, I don't think it's going to be a good look because he looked like he was ready,
mm-hmm.
if that made sense, just athletically.
Yeah, he looked ready. He looked ready. And I'm like, again, it's not basketball. It was nothing to do with basketball. It's more. I don't want to put on anybody. I have my suspicions. Put it that way. Ava Carita, I appreciate you for being on. Before I let you go, there's two things I want you to do. I want you to talk about what you got coming down the pike. I see that you have a cool podcast. I want you to talk about that cool podcast you got going with your lovely, lovely lady friends. Y'all look like y'all doing it. Also, I want you to talk about Double Sports, too. So.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
Double Take Sports. Let me correct myself. Double Take Sports.
Correct. Double Take Sports. Sports.
I know I'm here to correct everything about myself. Go ahead.
Yes. So definitely check out Double Take Sports. There you will find stories related to NBA, NFL, most sports. And a lot of the stories are, some stories are news stories. Some are more in-depth stories. And then also any media or interviews that I have, you can also find on Double Take Sports. You can also subscribe to the Double Take Sports weekly news update, where if you cannot go to the website and read the stories, you will get an email directly to you every week with all the stories that have been posted. So make it easy on yourself. Also, mm-hmm. be sure to follow Double Take Sports at DBL Take Sports on all social media platforms. And then to your point, I have a new podcast mm-hmm. out with three of my colleagues who also cover the Wizards. It's called the Triple Dub Podcast. It looks like Triple W, but play on basketball, Triple Dub.
I love it.
So that podcast, it's been great. We cover the Wizards, also what's going on in hoops, so all over the NBA and WNBA. And then we also feature a woman in sports every week because we are women in sports. And so we have to pay homage to other women who are doing their things in the industry. So be sure to follow us at Triple W Pod on all social media platforms. And you can find that on YouTube as well.
Awesome. You guys are doing great work. I already checked out I checked out the last episode. I appreciate your work. I shared it as well, too. So. Keep doing the great work.
I appreciate that.
All right, keep doing the great work. All right, Carita, you know what? I'll probably try to get you next week, too.
Let's hope we get a W between now and next week.
Let's hope so, man. DC needs something.
Yes. Well, maybe the Washington football team will come through.
We'll see.
On Sunday.
We'll see.
I know. I wish they would have just took care of business against the Panthers.
Yeah, should have did that, but they didn't. So we will see.
Here we are.
Yeah, I know. All right, Karina.
All right.
All right.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Karita. That is the great Karita Parks. I'm gonna call her great because she's amazing. Make sure you follow Karita on Twitter. That's at Karita C Parks, and follow Double Take Sports on Twitter as well at DBL Take Sports. Also follow Double Take Sports on Facebook as on Facebook too. Again, that is at DB. Excuse me. Also on IG as well too. I'm sorry. On IG, and that's at DBL Takes Sports on IG. Again, that's at DBL Take Sports on IG. All right, we completed the first week of the NBA season. Host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armon Lee, will join the show to talk about the first week of the NBA after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. For Aitas, you dig? Deuces. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole. Will T and Ray Jeezy are out. We're part of the Sports Journey, so make sure you check us out at sportsjourney.com. All right, man, I got my homie, man. I haven't had him on for a minute. Right now, I have host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armon Lee, on the line. What's going on, Armon?
Hey, what's going on, Wole, man? Thanks for having me back on. Hopefully everybody had a, you know, safe holiday season, whatever you celebrate. You know, make sure everybody stays safe.
Yes.
And, you know, we can go ahead and get back to it. You know what I'm saying?
I know, man. I know. I'm the same way, man. Everybody being safe. Eventually we'll have some normalcy, right?
Hopefully.
I know, right? But at least we got basketball. You know, it's cool.
Yes, sir.
I know it's like the NBA championship happened. And we're back in the basketball season so quickly, but it's a blessing. I love basketball. I love football and everything, but something about watching NBA games and seeing players compete, young dudes who just coming into the league, it just warms my heart, man.
No, I mean, let me ask you this real quick. I know.
No, go ahead.
Flip this script real quick. I'm with you. You know what I mean? Like, just on a surface level, I'm super excited the basketball was back. I remember when it came back during the bubble, I was super geeked up about it. But like, I don't know, man, I'm getting up there in age. I'm a father, and I feel like it's almost like I'm conflicted. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad that it's back, but then you start looking at, yo, man, how are they really going to go about this? There was the scare with the young man at the University of Florida. And you just think like, man, we've been playing with fire for so long.
Yeah.
I'd be lying if I'd said that I was completely, you know, excited. I mean, I'm excited about the season, but there is still the worry like, yo, are we really doing the smart thing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, I'm just believed. I mean, one, all sports is based on money and greed, right? So I'm kind of like 86 that thought process and just looked at it for what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, I looked at it is. Because I was like that with the bubble, bro. Like, I was the same way. I was like, why are we having a season? Like, I was like, yo, why are we even doing this? And then this time, like you said here, it's different, like, right? Because now you're not in the bubble. You're going, you're traveling, you're at games. And I'm like, initially I was like, yeah, I don't know if you want this to happen. You should be doing it. But then I'm like, you know what? The NFL's doing it. They're greedy. Basketball isn't as greedy as the NFL, but they're greedy too. So it's like,
yo, it's America, man.
It
you
is.
Know, it's all about the bottom dollar.
It is, bro.
And the thing is, man, like, it's easy. Just go ahead, you know, Matrix, man. Take the blue pill, Joe. Keep your head, be the option. Keep your head underwater. Just ignorance is bliss, but it's real.
Yeah.
Like, cause the more you start thinking about it, at least for me, I'm like, yo, this, like you said, like in the bubble was one thing.
Yeah.
In the bubble, they listened to the scientists.
Yes.
Now you have, like, this in the NFL. Even in the NFL, like, teams are traveling.
Yeah.
One day out the week, 2 days out the week, basically, and then they're in their home hub. And you saw how difficult it was for the NFL to keep things together. The NBA, you had teams flying across the country. you know, the Wizards in D.C., they'll be in Chicago 2 days from now. Lord knows where they'll be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's just like, if one thing goes wrong, Joe, it's like, it's built on a house of cards. But, you know, I ain't really trying to mess it. I ain't trying to hide it.
No, I feel you. No. That's a good point. No, you're still raising a good point. And to be honest with you, you're dealing with a lot more young dudes, too. And that plays a part, too.
19-year-old kids?
Yo, I'm serious, dog.
And even when the vets, you got Lou Will.
You got Lou Will, bro. So I'm just saying, I get it, dog. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, I pray that these dudes have, like, common sense.
For sure.
Can, so they won't spread it around. Because it's one thing of anything. If I'm going to trust any league, I'm going to trust the NBA over everybody.
Right.
But I'm like you. It's some things just inevitable, that, like, you got to practice safe practices so you can negate the spread of COVID. So it's just like, it's hard, man. It's hard. I'm more like, it's hard. And hopefully, you know, every individual on these on multiple teams, every player, you know, just respects the practices, respects the science, and just respects the protocol. And hopefully they don't have a spread like, you know, what we've seen in other sports.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So, but again, with the first week of the NBA season is basically completed. We've seen some impressive teams. Which team has impressed you the most?
So that's tricky, man. All right, let me give you two teams, right? I don't mean to cheat the
no,
answer,
you're fine.
But
let
me
cool.
give you two. The first team, and this team, I don't know if it's impressed, but it's like almost. I don't know, it's bewilderment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand how the Orlando Magic are successful. It just doesn't make sense to me. Shout out to Steve Clifford, right?
He's a good coach.
He has to be a phenomenal head coach.
He is a good coach, man.
But, like, this team has been to the playoffs 2 years in a row, mm-hmm. and as it stands right now at the time of this, you know, conversation, they're one of the four undefeated teams left in the league. Mm-hmm. And you and I, you know, we in the D.C. area, there were a lot of expectations about the Wizards. They beat the Wizards like 5-6 times in a row.
No, you know that's what I'm saying.
And when you look at the rosters, I mean, we all know Nikola Vucevic is a very good player, though. He's not a special player. He's a good player. He's a really good player. Every mm-hmm. team would want him, but he's not special. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Markelle Fultz is a phenomenal story.
Yes.
Former number one overall pick. Again, if you're from this area, you understand his journey. The ups and the downs, and we all root for Markelle.
Yes, we do.
But when you look at Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, you understand? You got Thomas Bryant. You have all these Davis Bertans. You have all of this talent on the Wizards. And, like, Orlando just finds a way. It's they're like the D-minus version of that old grit and grind Grizzlies team,
yeah,
right? That we don't love the Zach Randolph, Tony Allen, you know, that team. But they don't have that talent. But you could just tell, like, they just fight and scrap and claw. And I don't understand for the third year now how they're good. Like, I don't understand how they beat teams. But that's definitely the first one. And number two, I don't necessarily know if it's surprising because I've always believed in the Pacers. They have so much talent.
I thought
when they let go of Nate McMillan, I was like, man, you know what? That's going to backfire. And then when you see Oladipo, another local product, basically it seemed like he was trying to get up out of here the 2 months of offseason.
Yeah.
And then it looked like the Pacers were trying to move Miles Turner. And again, it's only been 3-4 games. But when you look at that firepower, they're like the opposite of Orlando.
Yeah.
The Pacers have all the talent in the world. It was just a matter of, yo, do we trust this new head coach to figure it out? And again, through 4 games, it's almost as if they've unlocked their offense. And, like, all of the things that look like it should have worked in Indiana on paper, it's like, again, 4 games, small sample size, but it's coming to fruition. I mean, you see Oladipo. People just a few weeks ago were looking at me crazy for saying that Victor Oladipo was a star.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dog, he just tore his knee. You got to give him some time to respond. He's killing.
He's killing.
Sabonis is a beast. You look back at now this Paul George trade a few years ago, and you like, yo, the Pacers cut. They hit a lick on that one, right? You have Sabonis and Depot for Paul George, right? And then you have Brogdon. What were the Bucks thinking by letting him go? Mm-hmm. I'd rather have Malcolm Brogdon than Drew Holiday. I'd rather have Malcolm Brogdon in those 3 first-round picks than Drew Holiday right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Warren, who was a superstar of the bubble. And then Miles Turner is playing his behind off. I mean, you just look at that team and you're like, yo, they look like they finally figured it out. Again, small sample size, super small sample size. But that team, I don't necessarily know if it's a surprise to me,
yeah,
but I do believe it's a surprise to most of the NBA audience.
Which is a shame, though, right? Because Indiana wasn't a surprise to me. Only reason why I say that is because you understand what Sabonis meant to that team once he went down. When
right,
he went down
he
last year, yeah, that's why, to me, Miami has had such an easy way with them. And that's why I feel bad for Nate, because I feel like if he had Sabonis, he would have never been fired. Because you saw T.J. Warren, you know, how he took his game to the next. And T.J. Warren's always been a scorer, so I don't want to act like T.J. Warren isn't a baller. He's always been a scorer. And then Victor Oladipo just came back from the injury. Just needed time. They're a talented team. Like, truth be told, they remind me, and this is and it's funny, they kind of remind me of the Pacers team with Reggie Miller back in the day when they were trying to get over the hump. Like, people would talk about the Knicks, they would talk about all these other teams, and they wouldn't talk about the Pacers. The Pacers tried to fight their way through, right? Like, out of all the contenders in the East, the Bulls, the Knicks, and all of them, they were always fighting to get their respect. This Pacers team is no different. Like, now they're fighting to get their respect because you got some of these sexy other teams. You got Joel Embiid in Philadelphia. You got the Brooklyn Nets. You got the Boston Celtics. Boston. You got the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis. Now Jimmy Butler in Miami. But the Pacers aren't sexy. But they fight the same way, though. Like, to your point, they fight the same way. They got ballers. You know what I'm saying?
Honestly, this is one thing. Shout out to my guy, Jay Michael. He covers the Indiana Pacers for the Indy Star. Mm-hmm. And if you remember a few years ago, the year where I guess it was LeBron's last year in Cleveland, when he lost, or where they beat Boston in seven games, and everyone was like, "Yo, Jason Tatum, this is a come out. This is a coming out party for him." And I was like, "Yo, you know, that same season, people forget the Indiana Pacers, they just had the bad luck of playing LeBron in the first round.
Yes.
And they took them to seven games.
Seven games, yeah.
But they lost, if you remember, on the road, whereas Boston lost at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny you bring up kind of the sexy teams because, you know, obviously they're hurt because they play in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they didn't get any of that same push that Boston Celtics team
I agree.
And that Pacers team, they played the – I mean, I actually thought that Pacers team was going to beat LeBron in the first round.
It looked like it.
At no point did I think the Celtics were going to beat Cleveland.
Yes.
But I absolutely thought that the Pacers had Cleveland's number. So it does bring true what you're saying about kind of how they've flown under the radar. And, again, we'll see if they can sustain it. But they have all the firepower.
They do. I think they're just as talented as most of these teams in the East. Talked about as much. Because let's think about it. Like, before we go to the next topic, let's think about it for real. Like, you mentioned it. Like, Sabonis is an all-star. Oladipo, when healthy, is a blossoming star. Yeah, he's a blossoming superstar. Yeah. Like, Oladipo, right? Think about it. When healthy, we were talking about Oladipo taking the next step. So, Oladipo, T.J. Warren has already shown the league. And if you didn't know, he does drop buckets. But he's already shown the entire league because of the bubble that he a 20-plus point scorer, period. The touches, he's giving you 20. Sabonis, you know what I'm saying? Brogdon, like, you're deep. You know what I'm saying? You got you got McDermott off the bench as a shooter. Like, you got a squad,
Jeremy Lamb
bro.
Off the bench.
Yeah, you Jeremy got it. Jeremy Lamb, you got a squad. Like, you know, most teams would want that squad and say, you know what, we can rock with it to contend for a championship. Like, a lot of team people would be okay with that. You know what I'm saying? Depending on your coaches. So I feel like, they're dangerous, man. They're very, very dangerous. And they're healthy. And I think a lot of teams in the East don't really want to see it. I don't think they want that smoke.
I don't think they want it either.
Again,
caveat is only one weekend.
Yeah.
Like, who knows what happens?
Exactly.
The season's going to be weird. There's going to be guys who missed time because of quarantine. Mm-hmm. I hope Vic is healthy. I think we all do, particularly in this area.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, knees are tricky. So
yes.
If they stay healthy and they can avoid the COVID, you know, setbacks that are inevitably going to happen, I'm with you. I think they shake up. I think they could give run to every single, with the exception of Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
If Brooklyn is healthy, I think they're on a different level.
Yeah.
But I think Indiana give anybody else in the East a run, and that means Milwaukee too.
Definitely. So you mentioned Brooklyn. I do want to talk about them. You know, they got KD, Kyrie. They're the sexy team. They're 2-2 right now. But what are your thoughts on, I mean, your opinions of Brooklyn early in the season?
Again, man, for me, it's never been a question of talent with Brooklyn. Like, the Brooklyn Nets, like, so, you know, we were talking about Orlando just a moment ago, right? Orlando went to the playoffs the last 2 years, and you look at that roster and you're like, huh? Like, how? You know what I mean? Whereas with Brooklyn, they've been to the playoffs the last 2 years, and then this season they're getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
You know, so that makes sense. You like, this is a playoff team, and they're getting, when healthy, arguably the best player in the league back, and then Kyrie, who's one of the most gifted offensive players that we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So that the talent pool, you talk about depth. I mean, we all know about the Spencer Dinwiddie injury, which is, you know, awful for him. Mm-hmm. But they still have Caris LeVert coming off the bench. You still have Jared Allen coming off the bench. You have Jeff Green coming off the bench. Like, this is a team who is completely loaded, right? So we'll see, right? This season is, again, this is going to be a tricky year for every single team in the league, let alone when your best player is coming off an Achilles tear, let alone when your head coach is Steve Nash, who's never coached a game in his life, and not alone being in the media capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But when healthy, I just can't foresee a team in the East knocking them off. Mm-hmm. But there will be things that you just can't quantify. How will the chemistry look? How will KD respond to a shortened season? Forget about just the regular 82 games. Getting 72 games in a compact schedule. We'll see how his body responds. But on paper, and throughout the first few games when they were healthy, I mean, yo, they've lived up to the hype thus far.
Yeah, they play a smooth brand, man. I'm not gonna lie, like, it's a real smooth brand. I watched them. It's smooth, man. Like, I was worried about, because, you know, you look KD and what happened in OKC with Russ, and you know how Kyrie's mentality is in terms of winning shots. But it seems like the transition is just smooth. But I just want to see, you know, because it's real though, right? Because now they're gonna give everybody's best shot. Like, we've seen, it is what it is. It getting to a point where you see Brooklyn on the schedule, and now you know the bottom feeders are going to be playing. They're going to be trying to play their best games now. Like, they're going to get everybody's best life. Real talk, they're going to get everybody's best life. And we saw that with Charlotte, right? You saw that with Charlotte. Hasn't looked good this season. They played Brooklyn, and they played their best brand of basketball that day. I mean, Terry Rozier dunking on KD and all this madness. So it's like, I want to see if they're ready for that. I know KD's ready for it because KD's experienced it, right? Kyrie, right, too. They experienced it when they were, you know, Kyrie and
everybody
Cleveland.
Else.
Like, but everybody else hasn't experienced that. That's a different monster. You know what I mean? That's a different monster. You got to get used to that. So I want to see how they, you know, respond to that in that environment, in that element. And then when there's adversity, because when the other dudes aren't playing that well, now you get to see how the two are going to play to pull their team out of that hole. You know what I'm saying? Because it's easier in Golden State, where you've already had that mentality. You had Steph, you had Clay, you had Draymond. You had guys who was in it, and they knew how to play a particular brand to get over that. Cleveland, LeBron with Kyrie. LeBron. He had LeBron. And LeBron's used to it forever. He's just used to it. You know what I'm saying? So now you got to be the leaders in this situation. So it's interesting to see how that works.
Also, man, I think that Brooklyn represents a very interesting kind of experiment when it comes not just to the NBA, but also in all professional sports. Mm. When Steve Nash first took that job, and, you know, there are a whole lot of opinions about that hire. But I remember vividly Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving talking like, yo, we don't need a head coach.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, I talked about this on the podcast this week. A lot of people, you know, took shots at that like, oh, man. You know, this is going to be hell for them. Like, how can you actually think that way? And if you strip it down a bit, right, I think that that's an interesting kind of place to kind of sit and you know, kind of dive into. Mm-hmm. I think that when you have that level of talent, no matter the profession either, right, we're talking about professional sports.
Yeah.
But when you have, like, the elite of the elite, you don't really need that much coaching. Like, how many people at your current job now need a boss who's, like, always micromanaging?
Facts.
It's like a taskmaster, right? Always on your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a certain level of, if you've accomplished and you are respected throughout the way Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving both are,
mm-hmm.
you don't need a, you know, a Tom Thibodeau. That's one of the reasons why I think Phil Jackson worked so well.
Yeah.
Right? He knew he had, right, the elites,
mm-hmm.
but it was Jordan, Pippen, Rodman. Or, I mean, we watched The Last Dance, and he let Dennis Rodman go to Vegas. But Dennis Rodman was busting everybody's ass. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. You don't need, I think sometimes we just are so accustomed to the way things have always been that we don't ever ask why. We don't ever try to challenge certain structures that are here. So I think that what the Nets at least are trying to do, I'm rooting for them. Mm-hmm. As a Knicks fan, I'm rooting for the Nets because I want that type of creativity, that innovation of being like, yo, this is new, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And when you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, too many coaches probably will try to overcoach and ruin the good thing, Scott Brooks. Whereas if you just fall back, you know what I'm saying? If you just fall back and let the elites do what they do, like true artists, like we laugh at Kyrie, but these guys are artists to some extent. And they don't need Steve Nash, Keith Atkinson, filling the coach, Tom Thibodeau, whomever, to tell Kevin Durant how to play basketball. You know what I mean? Like, Kevin Durant's going to win you a chip if you let him. So get out the way.
Yeah, I'm with you. You don't need but so much coaching. You just need some structure, right? That's all you need, to give them structure. You don't need any coaching, like thorough coaching. Just, you got to know your guys. You got a personality coach when you have that type
you
of talent.
You have to know your roster. You have to know who your best players are. Mm-hmm. You have to know who your worst players
exactly.
are.
It's personality coaching, right? It's just like everybody can't coach. Real talk, like everybody can't coach LeBron, right? And they can't. It's fact.
Right. And that's the thing. LeBron is taking bad coaches to the finals and the championship, right? So, you know, I don't know how good of a head coach Ty Lue is. I hope he's good. I think he's good, but I don't know, right? You don't know how good of a head coach. What was my man who coached Cleveland that one time?
Mike Brown?
That they kicked. Nah, the Bama from like Israel.
Oh, yeah. I felt bad for him, man.
I did.
Don't
even know his name anymore.
He had a simple name, too. I felt bad for him, too. I think LeBron did him dirty.
David Black.
LeBron did him dirty because give him a chance. Like, I felt like you would have got him to the finals. You could have got Cuz to the finals.
Right. They gave him 1 year. Went to the finals. And they're like, nah, bro, we good. You out of here.
Yeah. I was like.
If you have the talent, it doesn't matter. Mike Brown went to the finals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Now I'm with you on that one. I was like David Black. I was like, LeBron, you did him dirty. Like, you could have got him to the finals. You got everybody to the finals. You could have got him to the finals. You could have upped his resume. Real talk, you could have upped his resume.
David Black was designing plays with like a second left in the playoff game for LeBron to throw the pass to J.R. Smith. And LeBron was like, nah. I'm taking this shot.
Yeah,
bro.
I'm taking this shot. I was like, damn. I was like, no, I thought LeBron did him dirty. Because I was like, LeBron, you work with less. Don't do that to this man. Like,
no, he really ruined his name.
He did. Now he can't get an NBA NBA job. You did that dude so dirty. Like, because I'm like you. Like, to me, and I know I'm going off track. When we talk about Ty Lue, like, I'll say, I don't know if Ty Lue's that great of a coach because I feel like he got this opportunity. I feel like you could tell a good coach when they have less, like what they can do with less. Not to say that you got to take a team to the postseason, but you can see, you know, some improvement. And when he had that opportunity in Cleveland, he still had Kevin Love and some other players. I mean, they were bad, man. They were just bad. And I was like, well, if you're going to be – I know you lost LeBron, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? I know you lost – it's bad. It hurts, right? It hurts. It really hurts a lot. But, dude, like, at least don't be, like, the worst team in the league bad.
It's weird. I've always felt like it's easy to identify a bad head coach. It's really hard to find out who's good.
Yeah, it is. It's hard. Like, it's really hard. Like
to what you were saying when we were talking about Steve Clifford earlier.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a LeBron.
He doesn't. And he's competing.
And the fact that they're still so well coached, they don't turn the ball over a lot. They know what they are, and they stick to it. They're just going to muddy the game up because that's they're Sean Porter. I know you love Sean Porter. Yeah. It's Sean Porter, right? Sean Porter doesn't have elite boxing skills, but he's disciplined. He knows how he has to win.
Exactly.
And every single time you watch a Sean Porter fight, you know what you're going to get because that's the only way he can win. He doesn't have elite power. He doesn't have an elite speed. He's not tall. He doesn't have a great reach. But he understands he's very, very disciplined. That's what the Magic are.
Yeah.
But, like, when you have a great head coach or when you have great talent, it's hard. Like, I don't know how great of a head coach Steve Nash is. I don't know. Like this. I don't know how good of a head coach Steve Kerr is.
Bro, I was about to say the same thing.
I do know Mark Jackson.
Look, I was
about
to say
the Warriors team. Yeah. Right? Because – he was there, and they were losing to the Clippers.
Yeah.
The year he leaves, they win a championship, right?
Look, I'm with you, man. Like, I don't know how good Steve Kerr. I'm serious, because, like, Lou Walton was winning with that squad. Lou Walton was looking like the best coach ever.
Trash. Yes. He's trash. So it's hard to identify the good coaches.
Yeah, because now
– it's easy, though, to identify the
great coach. It is. Like, you know Pop is a great coach. Like, I know Pop is a great coach. when you look at Steve Kerr, it's like my mind is like, damn, I thought he was a good coach. And is now he? I'm like, yeah. Is he? Because I'm like, your team.
Frank Vogel, same thing.
Yeah. But see, I think Frank Vogel's a good coach, though. I think he's good.
I think he's good, because, but I don't know if he's great.
I won't say great. I think he's good because in Indiana, I just thought the process with Indy. I look at him in Indiana and be like, dog, you made that team work. Like, you were a good coach. That's how I judge Frank Vogel off Indiana. I don't judge him in L.A. because he has LeBron.
I was going to say, because he went to Orlando. And it was just a disaster.
Yeah, because they ain't had no. Yeah, moment. Yeah, that was bad. That was tough too. They were that. Orlando was a bad organization, but yeah, that was a tough one. Like I thought he would be okay in Orlando at first. I thought he would be okay, but he was bad in Orlando. Too. He was bad. He yeah. wasn't good in Orlando. But he wasn't. I think he had a couple years when they competed, but they weren't like a playoff team.
Right.
But like I don't hold Frank Vogel. I knew Frank Vogel would be better in L.A. than, say, a Tyronn Lue in L.A. I knew that much. That I did know. Because I was at least Vogel has shown me, like, he groomed the process. Man, he got Roy Hibbert into the freaking All-Star game, bro. Like, and I'm a Georgetown fan, bro.
And Lance.
And come on, man.
Starting five with Lance.
Yeah, exactly.
Roy, taking him to the conference finals,
bro. That's good. And Paul George was killing, but still, that roster isn't a roster that you can say they should be competing with the – Miami Heat. That's not the you know what I mean? Like, they were making Miami work. So when I saw that, I was like, yeah, you can coach. Tyronn Lue, I'm like you. I'm questioning that dude. So I'm going to have one more question before I let you go.
Okay.
Who has been your favorite player that's now in a new place?
Favorite player in a new place. Let me think. Well, I mean, there's a few. I mean, just off the top of my head, Christian Wood.
Yeah, he looked good.
I think, and again, bring the local ties here. Troy Weaver, I think we all are rooting for Troy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a significant lack of African-American front office minds in the NBA, a league that is overwhelmingly African-American. So when a brother gets the opportunity, you know, you want him to succeed. And then you look at, you know, he's from the area and he's put in so much work to get to this point. So, you know, that's a story that we all root for. But Slim, like, you can't let Christian Wood just walk away with nothing.
Yeah.
He goes to Houston, signs a contract that's completely undervalued.
Yeah.
And he cooking by him.
He's cooking.
Like,
there's no
John. There's no, I mean, James just played one game thus far. There's no Boogie. There's no Eric Gordon. Like, this is like a Mavs unit right now. And he's frying by me.
He's frying.
Yo, Christian Wood, so far, so good. Like, so far, where we at now, bomb. Like, you holding it down. But I think that's an easy one. Let me think a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I really like what Chris Paul has done.
Of course,
Because Chris Paul knows at this point in his career, he's not going to make any more All-NBAs.
Yeah.
He's not going to, you know, be in the MVP conversation anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see kind of how it feels, and again, small sample size, I understand.
Yeah.
But it feels like the Suns team has matured in this short offseason, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Bridges, obviously, we already knew what Booker was going to do.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what Mikal Bridges, and you look at some of their other young players, and you're just like, wow, like this is, it feels like they are taking kind of the personality of the not best player anymore, but definitely the leader. It feels like Chris Paul has definitely taken a hold of that Suns team. And I'll give you this as a bonus.
Okay.
The player who I feel on a new team who has disappointed the most, again, small sample size, I really thought Robert Covington was going to be really, really good for the Blazers. And I know they had a big win last night over the Lakers, Lakers.
Play so sloppy. We play so sloppy, but go ahead.
But I really thought that just his versatility, his athleticism, you know, obviously when you talk about Portland, you know about Dame, you know about CJ. But I really thought that he was going to unlock a lot of kind of create defensively and offensively. And just thus far, shot hasn't been falling. He's been in foul trouble, and it doesn't feel like it's clicking. But again, we need to make sure we have the caveat. These guys didn't really have an offseason. They didn't have a training camp, a real training camp. They didn't have, you know, OT. Like, this is something that they're kind of learning on the fly. So I definitely still feel that Covington will provide a boost for that Blazers team. But thus far, he's been the most disappointing, while Christian Wood and Chris Paul have been, in my opinion, thus far, the best offseason additions.
Yeah, and I will say that a guy that's in a new place but really isn't is Fat James Harden, because that dude gets buckets, dog.
Well, you know what that is.
I'm so
you know
sorry.
What that is. He's trying to get out. So he's like, no, let me put my best foot forward and like cook these bammers so I can get my ass about.
I'm gonna tell you now, like, cause and what I like about, and it's funny because, you know, everybody criticizes James, and I was criticizing James Harden. I don't like folks who are not professional, and that bothers me.
Yeah, for sure.
But I have to, like, sometimes, bro, like, he messes up a whole argument, though. he does, because like he did two things differently. Like, we all know, like, he played with the basketball a lot, but he was making decisive moves with, like, he wasn't dribbling. I watched the Portland game, and he still does his, like, his herky jerky, you know, trying to get you for the step back three, but he was going faster, and he was going faster to the bucket, getting Woods on the oops, on the, you know, the pick and dives, and it was impressive, right, man. And then the step back three, I was like, yo, you're too fat to be doing, like, not to say you're fat, but as an athlete, like, bro, as an athlete, dude, for you, the shape that you in right now, for you to get that shot off like that, I was like, you are, like, all some Matrix stuff for real. Like, I don't even understand how you can be this efficient, the dog. And
it's funny because the stories that came out of Houston were so big,
evil.
They were so many.
Yes.
And they were so just obnoxious. And like you said, missing flights and canceling practices.
Throwing a basketball at a rookie. Oh.
Yeah. Man. Throwing a ball at your teammate. So the stories were just so large and absurd that it almost usurped the fact that James Harden is one of the best players ever.
You know what I mean? I know.
People looking at James, I'm like, oh, man, I ain't trying to deal with that. Then light work, 40 points. You know what I'm saying? This is the guy we talk about.
Yo, Armand, I was literally watching that game. Was like, dude, you got all your teammates are, like, on quarantine.
Right, a quarter of his team is not even
And,
playing.
Like, you basically carrying a squad against CJ and Dame. But, like, you're willing this team to almost a victory. And I'm like, I don't even know what to say. Like, I was waiting to hate on you. I don't even know what to say. I'm really, like, typing on Twitter, like, I don't know. My mouth was open. I was like, pause. But that thing was, I was like, yo, I can't believe what I'm watching right now.
I don't know what Brooklyn is thinking. But if Houston said they want Kyrie,
I would seriously think about that. Like, I do that in a second. For what I saw,
I just run it by KD. Like, yo, KD, hey, come on now. You know Kyrie ain't James Harden. I know that's your man.
That's your man.
You're trying to win his chip.
You're trying to win his chip. Like, you know, and you know James gonna pass that rock even more. Like,
For KD, yeah, he's passing all the time for KD.
Yeah, I know. Hey, but Armand, before I let you go, man, let our listeners know, you know, what you got going on the pod, what's new on the pod, and also how they can catch you on social media.
Absolutely, man. Well, I appreciate you, man. Make sure everybody, you head on over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Overcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, whatever your favorite DSP is, and check out the Quarterly Report podcast. This week we're talking about expansion. There was a lot of talk about the NBA adding teams, so I gave you whether it's a good idea or not, and the two cities I think the NBA should be looking at. Plus, like you said, we've kind of touched on it a bit during this conversation. You know, every year there's so many quick overreactions to the first week of the NBA season. So I try to calm Bama's down, calm everybody down. It's like, yo, these are some things that maybe you have a reason to be alarmed about, but try to get to the reason as to why we are so quick to make these snap judgments every year with four games into the NBA season. So again, check me out. Mm-hmm. The Quarterly Report podcast. I'm on Twitter at Quarterly Show, QUARTERLEE Show. The podcast, Quarterly Report podcast. Again, wherever your favorite DSPs.
Hey, Armand, man, you know, I appreciate y'all. We got to get you back on when Ray and Will get back on. We can talk basketball.
I was
going
to say, man, I'm looking for Will, Joe, man. Yeah. I want to run it back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Will going to be back on. We're going to get next week. They all should be back for the new year, man. So hopefully we get you on. We can talk basketball for real. If you want to talk basketball, about whatever, bro. You know, on whatever.
And you know the big fight this Saturday night. So, you know, we got a lot of talk.
Oh, we got a lot of talk, bro. You already know.
Yes, sir.
All right, Armand, man. You stay blessed and safe, man. And stay safe.
Hey, you too, Wale. Appreciate you, man.
All right, man. Make sure you follow Armand on Twitter at Armand_Lee. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Quarterly Show. That is Quarterly, L-E-E, Show. All right, man. Appreciate you all for – actually, truth be told, we're going overtime. You know, I said we were going to have Lake on in the beginning of the show. My man Lake will be on – after the break to talk about Dwayne Haskins and some more Washington football talk. Anyway, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for Aitches. You dig? Doses. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We're going overtime, man. Overtime. Because now I got my homie Lake on, all right? So now I'm boosted. But right now, I have former USA Today senior Washington football team reporter and current Sports Journey Washington football team reporter Lake Lewis Jr. on the line. So happy he was able to make it. What's good, Lake?
What's going on, my friend? I appreciate you having me on again.
Oh, man, you know what, man. You fam, bruh. You fam. You know this.
All right. Yeah, of course.
All right, man. Plus, I had to have you on, man. Like, you know, I had to have you on because this is about Dwayne. This is DH, man. The team, I talked about this earlier. The team, they waived Dwayne Haskins yesterday. And, were you surprised when you heard the news?
No, I wasn't, and ironically, I thought it should have happened the week before.
Okay.
You know, I thought after the whole, you know, stripper thing, you know, it was time. Not even if not for, you know, being released, being suspended for the remainder of the season. Mm-hmm. There's just two games left at that point.
Yeah.
So that's what I had thought, but then they didn't do it. I understand, you know, people saying they couldn't do it because of the injuries to Alex Smith and. You know, they didn't want to play Montez. They had just signed, you know. But I looked at it like if you're trying to change the culture and you're trying to show that, you know, as a coach and Ron Rivera, that, you know, you mean business and you want guys focused at all times, that was the time to release him or to suspend him. Mm-hmm. You didn't do it. Then you let him play. which is kind of giving him another chance to right the ship.
Yeah.
And then he has his worst game as a pro, in my opinion.
It was.
Well, it was the writing was on the wall after the other day. You could tell that the players, that the coaches, more importantly, you could tell the fan base had enough of it.
they've had enough of it. He's polarizing. He's a very polarizing individual. But to that game, it's funny. Like, I want to go back. Talk about the stripper situation. The issue I had with the whole stripper is one. I'm like, dude, you make strippers look bad, bro. Like, you put a negative connotation on strippers, dog. Why, Dwayne? You make a business hard for strippers. That's one. And then secondly, it's like, without getting all into it. But secondly, it's like, yo, man, like you came out, and I mentioned this last week. You came out praying, crying, whatever. And I felt for you too, bro. I felt for him. But then after that game, you lost. And you doing that? You know what I'm saying? You're not showing them.
So it looked fake.
It looked fake. It looked fake.
It looked fake. And that was something that I kept telling, you know, some friends of mine. Mm-hmm. You know, listen, he was praying during the game, mm-hmm. and you remember what I said about that?
Yeah,
I didn't like that.
I remember.
Mm-hmm. And then you follow it up the same night.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like that's.
I understand. Yeah, I mean, I get that, and I understand that wasn't the same game. It was the week later. He did that, but you lost,
mm-hmm.
and you're in a playoff race, and then on top of that, you're in a setting that wasn't COVID, you know, safe.
Yeah,
you got a coach that's dealing with cancer.
Yeah,
you got a quarterback in your room who's dealing with his leg now. Yeah. So it's like, you just think to yourself, you can subjugate your teammates to this and your coach to this. And that was the ultimate sign of selfishness.
Yeah, it was.
Whether he was thinking in his mind, I'm going to be selfish and do what I want to do. I don't think that's what Dwayne thinks. And I'm not him, so I can't come out and say, I know he does this and does that. But I think there's some people out there that are just so drawn to themselves.
Yeah.
They don't realize anything outside of themselves.
Yeah. I mean, he's a.
And
go ahead.
I just think that he just does what he wants to do and doesn't understand the ramifications of it until afterwards. And another thing that I think really was kind of the nail in the coffin, the final nail in the coffin, mm-hmm. was not speaking to us after the game.
Okay.
And when I got word and that wind came around in the press box that he wasn't speaking to us, I was just like, oh, no, that's a bad, bad look right there. Mm-hmm. Because the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to get the media upset.
Yeah.
And it's not to vilify him, but there's protocol in this.
Yeah, of course.
You know that from being in there. Quarterbacks speak.
They speak, yeah.
That's your job as the quarterback, mm-hmm. a franchise caliber player, mm-hmm. or what they want you to be. That's what you're supposed to do. You got to face the music, good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would have gone a long ways for him after the game to speak about his lack of a performance. He did come out and say that it was confusement because he thought, Taylor Heinicke was supposed to speak, and that's mm-hmm. why he didn't speak. That's not true. And mm-hmm. and that sounds like an agent trying to cover tracks, trying to fix a situation. Then they go and have the press conference, not a press conference, but have him kind of, I guess, at home or whatever.
Yeah.
That was staged, absolutely staged. So that was it. Just like you could just tell people have had enough of this. You can't trick people. How your pops used to say, I was your age at one point.
Yeah, real talk. Yeah.
I used to do this stuff. So come on, man. We know when somebody trying to pull a fast one on us.
Yeah,
and that was that.
The thing about him, he ain't even slick, though. You know what I'm saying? He's not even slick. So it's just like, you're not even doing clever stuff. So it is what it is. Not to be mean, just got to keep it a buck.
I mean, gotta keep it real. Yeah. And you know, my friend, there's fans out there mad. And I had some people come at me and say, you black man, you shouldn't be doing this to another black man. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm reporting what he did.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm all for it. But at the end of the day, we do have a job. And then on top of that, there's 16, 17 starting black quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
I just got off doing something with Josina Dio and Jason Campbell. Mm-hmm. And they're all in agreement too. You can't use that narrative right now.
No, because
this
can't.
Guy's balling out there.
No, you can't.
So
you can't.
This is just about immaturity and lack of performance that got this man out of here.
Well, it's not a race thing. His situation's not a race thing. Like, it's not. I have an issue with some of the people who, like, some of the people I've seen on social media or some of the reporters that that have take it out of football. That's my problem. You don't, to keep it football, like, keep
right,
it football.
Right.
Like, you keep it football, then right. There's nothing that you can say. You know, you really can't argue anything that Dwayne has done to validate him being a quarterback on this team. You know what I mean? Football.
Like some people are saying, well, look, James Harden was in the strip club with no mask, and he still got a job. Time out. James Harden?
Yeah, we can't do that.
Don't James Harden got an MVP? But
that's what I'm saying.
And even if you want to do that, don't James Harden got an MVP at his craft?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this. Okay, we all grown. Let's keep it a buck. We all grown. Like, all right. We know there's different levels to this. Like, there's different levels to this. All
right.
If Tom Brady was in a strip club, and I'm not talking about skin, if he was in a strip club because with his accomplishments, he in a strip club with no mask, he's okay. All right. He's okay because he's got championships and he's doing the thing. He's doing well. He's doing well on the football field. Dwayne Haskins is a erratic quarterback who has barely won you football games, who has been a bust. He's at a strip party. It is what it is. We know that
after you lost, team has a chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah. So I don't compare him to a successful football player or a successful basketball player. Like, that doesn't work.
This is what I'm gonna throw at somebody. Michael Jordan was gambling
the
morning of a championship game, and he still dropped buckets.
And still won. It's a different. It's a different beast. It's a different. You can't like. That's what I was telling somebody. I said this too. I said this when it happened. I was like, yo, you can't do that if that's you, because, bruh, you're not that dude. You know what I mean? Like, you can't.
You ain't
that player. You're not that dude. You're not that dude in status where a dude who's throwing for 300, 400 yards. If you Aaron Rodgers, it works. No one's going to bother you. It is what it is. They'll be like, bad decision, Aaron, A-Rod. But no one's like, A-Rod, how dare you? You should be gone. It'll be bad decision, A-Rod. You should know better. That's about it. It's probably one day of the cycle. One day of the new cycle.
And I think there's another element that hasn't really been talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with race.
Mm-hmm.
But it has everything to do with professionalism and class.
Yeah.
And that's the guy that's in the room with Dwayne Haskins, or was, because he's no longer on the team as far as Dwayne isn't. Yeah. But when you're around Alex Smith, and you see what that man's come back from, and you see how he goes about his craft, you're telling me that you didn't pick up anything from that?
Oh my God. Everybody picks up.
Bro, you're not going to get this opportunity. He's not going to ever get that kind of opportunity again.
Facts.
There's nobody ever in his career, God forbid, you know, I'm wrong, but there's nobody that he will ever have the opportunity to be in a quarterback room with that's overcome what Alex Smith did.
I agree. And you know what? And to your point,
you didn't learn anything from that.
Yeah. And to your point, look at the quarterbacks that Alex Smith has was starting, and they were backing him up, and they learned.
Man,
they learned. Mahomes, Kaepernick, they learned, and they took their games to another level.
Failed. Exactly.
And this dude.
So that's why I say he did not take. He did not capitalize on the opportunity.
I agree.
And I said this tonight with Josina and T.O. And Jason, listen, they made him a captain?
Yes.
What?
I know.
But they put that on him so that he would, they thought it would make him
mature.
Act the part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mature. And that wasn't in the cards. And this isn't to bang and slam on Dwayne,
because
it's sad, man.
Good.
Because and you're the perfect person to say this to. You used to be with me, in that locker room last year, and you saw the conversations.
Yeah, I did. I saw it.
You saw me talking to him. So everybody said, "Did you really talk to him?"
No, he talked.
You were with me.
Yeah, he definitely talked to him. Yeah, real.
Yeah,
grown,
and you would see him seek me out.
Yes.
He was stepping through other people to come talk to me.
Facts.
And it was just, I was just trying to be real with him. Listen, man, you're being watched.
Yes.
Take this opportunity so that when your time comes, you can just push all this in everybody's face. I don't know, man. And again, I'm not trying to take credit for that. Those conversations, that's just what you and I, very few black media, that's what we do.
Yeah.
You know, we try to let these guys know, stay the hell out of trouble.
Yeah.
Do this, do that. But the fact of the matter is, man, he's done so many things that are just bad optics. You know, the selfie, the first COVID issue. You know, this wasn't his first go around with that. You know, when he had the person in the hotel. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's just, it's little things like that where it's like, okay, enough's enough, man. Like, when are you going to get it?
Mm-hmm.
And then to wrap it up and you didn't speak to us the other night after you stumped the joint up. That ain't cool.
Yeah, it's just it's just too immature. And it's funny because you hear that term being used by, you know, a lot of experts or scouts or whatnot when they're dissecting a young player, and you're like, you know what, they're young, so you expect them to be immature.
Right.
But there's different levels to this, man. Like, this is a different set of immaturity. I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback this immature. And I knew, like, to me, it's funny because, you know, I've always I'm a Michigan fan. I've always kind of took up for Dwayne for a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like during this like process, you know, I had to, like, he was rubbing me the wrong way. Even when the game where not this week but last week against the Seahawks, the second half when he started playing better, I hated the term, like, I played mad. That's why I played better. And I thought that rubbed me the wrong way too. Okay, I was like, you play mad? That's what you're going to say? Like, that's where you're going to tell
makes
me?
So that made you play better.
Better.
And don't think you played at an all-star level either.
You just
didn't look as bad as you did the first half.
Exactly. But
and you come out and you say that. And to my friend's defense, our colleague John Kine, he asked him, what do you mean by you played bad? Because John was the one that asked him the question.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, like I said, I played mad. Stop. That kind of stuff right there. that gets you put out the league. Oh, guess what? He's out the league.
Out the league.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, man. And again, yeah, it hurts me as a black man to see any. And I don't want to say it like that, where I say, like, you know, I got preferential treatment to black people because I'm black. But I mean, I'm black. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Take advantage of our opportunities because it could help the next person
in
life. But Dwayne, I think Dwayne, from what I saw, it seemed like he loved the perks that came with being a quarterback,
exactly,
as opposed to the work that was needed to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's probably the safest way I can say that. And again, it's not to put the kid down. He's a nice kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he was never disrespectful. None of that.
Yeah.
He was always, you know, willing to talk. But you know, I heard some things when we talked where it would made me realize at times, like, he's very, very, very confident. And that's probably the safest way to say it. You know, he's borderline arrogant. Let's just put it that way.
Cool. Like, my thing about it is, like, I don't like arrogant folks. That's natural for me. But there is a difference. I'm cool with you being arrogant, but if you can back it up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm cool with it. I can understand it if you can back it up. I don't like fake swag, because we've seen this. Like, I didn't like this
and,
is my
and,
thing.
And you and me have been saying that about him from day one. Let's
so
just call it
call
like
what
it
is,
we've
right?
We've been saying, and we from here, man.
Yeah, we from,
you know,
here,
and
bro.
I said something in my podcast last week that, you know, I had a couple people say, man, you called him the B word, and I said, no, I didn't. I wasn't saying he was. I'm saying that's how he was acting.
Yeah.
And but when you from these parts, like you and I are,
yeah.
We done seen it all, man, and I know swag when I see it,
bro, you see
because
it.
Guess what? It's not advertised.
It's not.
It just is.
It just is, man.
You know, right? I don't get. And when you get the tats and the cornrow and the earrings and the uniform look crisp and clean, I get all that.
That's cool.
then you going out and you're not performing. That's not the look you want.
It goes to what you said before though, like, and it's even more than that. So all right, I'm gonna use Chase Young. Fly. He's dripping.
That's real swag.
When you come on that field though, it's confidence. You see it though. Like, you see it. Mm-hmm. It ain't like he messed up. His head ain't down. He like, I'm gonna get the next one though. Like, that's real confidence. Like, cause he believes
it's
that
real swag.
It's real swag. He know he that dude. So when Dwayne throw a pick, it's this woe is me mentality. That's not swag, bro. Like, so when you come on off the field and you dripped out and you having this arrogance, that's bull crap. Like, real talk, that's bull, because on the field I see you. Cause you can't hide on the field. On the field I can see you. Like, I see you for real, and I can see that.
Well, I think.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
And then I was just gonna say, I think the other thing too is that, you know, Dwayne, the one thing that he's gonna have to do, he's gonna have to reinvent himself to be self-made, not a prodigy, not given.
Yes.
And I think that that's a big deal right now for him. I think he's been handed some things, and you go play at Ohio State and you have some success in your first year. But let's face it, man, Ohio State's Ohio State. You and I could put up at least 20 touchdowns.
At least 20,
right,
man.
Now at my age. At least. Just because I'm saying they're so talented,
yes,
everywhere. You know, they just have dumb talent
they
all
do,
over the place.
They do. I hate to say it, they do though.
Yeah. So he went right into that situation. You know, and but I remember somebody telling me about the whole Maryland fiasco, as far as, you know,
the comeback
announcing he's going at Ohio State on Maryland's campus or something like that during when they had this. I think somebody had mentioned something to me about about him, and I think Diggs' younger brother.
Okay.
They had I think they had verbally committed to Maryland.
They did. No. Oh, you're talking about the commit? Yeah, so they did. They both, and all three of them, is Diggs Young, who now plays for the Cowboys. It was Haskins and some other player. They all were supposed to go to Maryland.
But they went, but they announced on Maryland's campus at a party or something that they were going to go to the other schools.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
That's
and
terrible.
If that's true, that's already right there. Like, come on, man. You can't be doing stuff like that.
That is trash. Because all three of them.
Because I'm going to tell you straight up, if that is true and I was a player at Maryland standing in that room, we was banging that night.
Banging. Oh, man.
I would not have allowed that to happen.
That would not fly right with me. Oh, man. If he did that, that's terrible.
I want to look into that. But I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure that's what I had heard. And see, that's not cool, it's man. Not. I mean, again, it's not. Again, I'm not saying Dwayne's not a good kid, because you and I used to walk away from him saying he's all right.
You know what I mean?
Like, we had nice conversations and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I remember one comment one night. He said, it was after the Detroit game, I think he played well. Mm-hmm. And I said, congrats, man. You know, and he said, nah, it ain't nothing. And I said, no, that's a good look for you. You know, you played well. Mm-hmm. He said, man, that's what I do.
I know. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that, Jerry. I know you talk about.
And I was kind of like,
I remember that.
Yeah, and I just was like,
I forgot
like,
about
okay.
that. Yeah, he did say that.
Yeah, man. That kind of caught me off guard. But, I mean, that was his confidence. And, okay, I'm thinking he's just young, he's brash, he's confident. Okay.
Yeah.
But what do you do? And that's the question he's going to have to ask himself. Because right now he doesn't do anything well.
He does do anything.
And he's going to have to reinvent himself. He's going to have to. This is the humbling that he needed. And again, this could be one of the best redemption stories in football. It could be a nice story that he got himself right, got himself mentally prepared. Mm-hmm. And another team will give him an opportunity. He just has to capitalize on it when it happens. Because, and I've said this, race didn't get him released. Make no mistake about it.
It did not.
But race could be the reason why you don't get back.
Yeah, that's the truth. No, I agree. I think race
could be the reason why you don't get back if you don't show you're humble. Because now you got a double mark on you. So We saw this happen with Robert. Mm-hmm. You know, the same exact thing. There were teams that just didn't want to deal with him. Mm-hmm. So Cleveland gave him an opportunity, you know, regardless of what's happened since, you know, even with the Ravens, he played against Pittsburgh recently and he did not look good at all.
Yeah.
But the whole point was, is that people got wind that this guy was, you know, maybe, you know, feeling himself a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we already know that there's some the old guard out there that may not want to work with you just because. I've been saying this on social media quite a bit. I'm not really accepting that narrative as much now because look at how many black quarterbacks are across the NFL and playing great. And even the white quarterbacks that are in the league now, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you would look at them today and say their games are patterned after black quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because they're showing mobility and things like that. But that's not fair to them. That's like saying that only black quarterbacks are mobile.
True. No, that's true.
So we have to stop that narrative mm-hmm. because if that's the case, then it's going to be that black quarterbacks can't stand in the pocket. Exactly, you know, we have to start labeling people, you know, and, you know, at the ultimate end of the day, it would be nice to say, you know, we don't even have to mention the 15, 16 black quarterbacks, yeah, you know, it's just their quarterbacks. But you know, in today's climate, it's just, it is what it is. But again, I don't think race got him out of here. I think it was just a lack of maturity and terrible performance and habits, you know, and, mm-hmm. I think you look at who was his coach, minority coach,
yeah.
Whose career success came with Cam Newton, mm-hmm. black quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think Brace had anything to do with this. They were just fed up with the antics.
Oh, no, definitely. I think that there's no race card in this. I do think that it's going to be interesting to see if he gets another job, because like you said earlier, race has nothing to do with this situation, but there is this stigma when it comes to when a black quarterback loses their job, if they're going to get opportunity to be a starting quarterback again, it's like you have to seize the day when you get that initial opportunity, and you just got to kind of just run with it till you were pretty much done as a starting quarterback.
Somebody was mentioning to me earlier, oh, Jameis, you know, they're doing it to him now. Why is he the third string quarterback in New Orleans? And I'm like, who's he starting over in New Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
He ain't starting over Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
He's not starting over Drew Brees. We know that.
Yeah. And yeah, the Taysom Hill
to my knowledge, yeah. And to my knowledge, Jameis threw 30 interceptions last year.
It is like I thought Jameis.
And Jameis was, but he was also in some trouble off the field too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So what I'm saying is, come on, man, let's keep this real. You and I both know sometimes we don't get second opportunities.
Yeah.
Sometimes we won't even get a first chance.
Yeah.
So why are you going to put yourself in situations where
you're
hurting any chance you would have?
That's what bothers me about his situation is because when you use like he should already because he said it like when a question was asked and you were around it was asked like, is this your last chance? He said yes. It's like you should already know what that means. This is arguably your last chance to be a starting quarterback. Like, period, bro. Like, you're not. It is what it is. Like, you gotta literally have a vicious redemption story, you know. And I don't want to like kind of like crap on his situation because I do want to give everybody hope. But if we're gonna do a percentage, right? And you do a study mm-hmm. or whatnot, and just look at for what it is. Look at the track record of folks like and. It's not like you had success like Mike Vick. You're not a Mike Vick talent. You're Dwayne Haskins. Like there's a chance that you will not be a starting quarterback and get an opportunity to be a starting quarterback in this league. Unless
I agree. I don't see it now. Because now you have to be rehabilitated literally. And I don't know if there's coaches that have let's be honest. His best chance for that to happen is to go to a stable team,
yeah.
You know, go like people keep talking about naturally Pittsburgh and things like that. Well, hell, I could see Kansas City.
Yeah,
I really could. I could see him going there and backing up Patrick Mahomes or just maybe being a third stringer, but just seeing how that professional handles things. But the problem is you had that here. Now,
yeah,
Alex isn't a gunslinger or anything like that, but just the way he goes about his craft,
yeah.
You know, that's a professional. But maybe he goes somewhere else and it clicks, you know. But I don't want to keep using this term immature because he's young, because he's 23, because Kyler Murray's the same age.
Yeah,
and
he's
an MVP caliber guy, you know. So let's stop that, you know. And he's a black quarterback too. Yeah. So stop that. Lamar Jackson. So
yeah,
right. Already won.
Oh,
an
I love
MVP.
Lamar's temperament. His temperament is different. It's a different temperament. It is.
Right.
And
right. Patrick Mahomes already won an MVP. So I'm just saying, come on, man. He's no Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
But the thing is, nobody knew Patrick Mahomes was going to be
this
what he is. No one knew Lamar. You remember the whole Lamar thing.
He's a wide receiver.
A lot of pundits say he couldn't even play. So he comes in, becomes an MVP. Mm-hmm. That's called self preparation and self work, hard work. Mm-hmm. And that's clearly what this kid has been lacking.
And good coaching too. And good coaching, because they were coached up very well too.
I don't think Scott Turner should be, you know, exonerated and all that stuff either. I mean, let's just call it like it is, because there's some things that he could have done better. I don't know for the life of me why, when they took Dwayne out the other day, they went to up tempo when Heinicke came in. And I'm like,
should do that with Dwayne.
Why weren't you doing that with Dwayne? Because that's his game. That's where he comes from in college. But you got them under center. You got him coming out the huddle and calling the plays. I'm like, man, if you don't get this kid to stop thinking, speed the game up so he can't think. Everything's reactionary.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just me though.
You know how I feel about Scott Turner. I've been like, I haven't been lukewarm. I have a lot to say about Scott Turner. But I want to get to that game though. So a little bit about the game before I let you go, and actually the Eagles game. But that game, Scott Turner. You mentioned Scott Turner, and I do want to. I will harp on that. The Panthers were, I believe, they were 27th ranked against stopping the run. And in that first couple, drives, you know, they were rolling running the football. Why not? And they didn't fall behind, but so much. Why not continue to run the football? It seems like they put it on Dwayne's shoulders early, where they could have just put it on the shoulders of an Antonio Gibson, who averaged about 6.1 yards a carry, and Barber and McKissick. Just why not lean on that running game?
Man, I was shocked. I flat out can tell you, I was totally shocked, because he came out. And, you know, everyone was trying to see if the toe was really good. Mm-hmm. He was running hard.
Yeah.
And they were just – it looked early, like the first possession, second possession. It looked like, man, they can dominate them up front.
Yeah.
Run the football. Mm-hmm. And let's just make this a game where it doesn't even have to be about the quarterback.
Exactly.
And sure enough, they wanted to start slinging it with Dwayne. And I'm like, what are you doing? Just things that don't make sense. And, you know, that's the one thing that maybe you can say in Dwayne's defense, is that he had a coordinator this year, first year coordinator, who was trying to figure it out himself. Mm-hmm. So, but again, if this was just about football performance, I think Dwayne still would be on the team. I really do. I think he would just be demoted. Mm. But the off the field things and the lack of preparation, and it shows right in your face. Yeah. That's what ultimately got him out of there. But Scott Turner, for me, should be on alert as well. I truly believe that.
I think so too. So like, to your point though, about Taylor Heinicke, he comes in the game, they go up tempo, and he looks good. He actually looks good. Made some good throws, was mobile. It seems like, in terms of, he was decisive in his playmaking ability, and also had good touch. Your thoughts on Heinicke potentially being a starter against the Eagles if that has to happen?
Well, I mean, it will happen if Alex can play. Mm-hmm. I think the kid showed enough last week to put him in that position. And he was more fluid with the football. He was more decisive with his reads, his dropbacks, you know, made some really nice throws, took the ball down the field, something that Haskins just obviously wasn't even attempting to do. So, you know, I think that's a good thing. But we also have to be, you know, realistic here, too, and realize that he came in the game cold. They didn't have any film on this guy. They didn't have any preparation for him. The Eagles will know every tendency that he displayed in that brief outing.
Yeah.
But I think as long as he doesn't turn the football over, if he is indeed going to be the starter, as long as he doesn't turn the football over and they decide that they do want to make a concerted effort and run and turn this into a Dallas game all over again, I think they can win the football game. I mean, they've got to win it if they want to make the playoffs.
I know. it's a win or go home type of game.
There is one scenario.
You talking about the tie?
Man, if Dallas and New York tie, oh my God!
Oh, that would be hilarious. that would be great for the fan base. I don't know about the team, but for the fan base,
hilarious.
It would be pathetic, but it'd be pathetic if you were the team. But I guess for the fan base, they would still be excited every which way. So if Alex plays, right, you feel like it's a guaranteed victory, right?
I don't think this is going to be a guaranteed victory.
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. They're going to have to earn this. This reminds me eerily similar to the 2015 final game in Philadelphia. And I was at that game as well.
Okay.
And they won it to be 9-7, and they won the division off that and won, you know, got in the playoffs. And I remember that feel of that. I remember seeing them guys in the locker room afterwards celebrating. That was pretty cool. And this kind of reminds me of that setting. You know, I think they will win the game, but they're going to have to scrap and claw and fight for this, because I don't think the Eagles are going to roll over. I think the Eagles want them to be home with them. So
I know.
That's what you got.
I believe, because D-Jax is playing. D-Jax will probably play, and he looked good last week. Still explosive. God, I love D-Jax. And then you got Jalen Hurts. And again, Jalen Hurts, and the issue I have, you know, come to this game is I believe this team has not beaten a legitimate mobile quarterback all year, defensively speaking. I mean, these mobile quarterbacks have put up or had certain plays that have impacted games, you know, for their loss in these losses. So how is it, you know, how do you see this team stacking up against Jalen Hurts? Because he's a mobile quarterback. He's dynamic. He's making plays for this team. He scares me as an individual. If I'm a Washington football player, he would scare me.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely had their struggles against mobile quarterbacks. Fortunately for them, they've had their struggles against mobile quarterbacks, which means that they've faced some this year. So he won't be catching them off guard. I mean, you had Kyler Murray, you had Lamar Jackson. Even last week, Teddy Bridgewater was moving around a little
Russ,
bit.
Yeah, Russ, Russ too.
You know, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list goes on. They've had some guys get around on them. So they should be well prepared for a guy like Jalen Hurst. I just think that, again, this is the type of game where you can't let the Eagles be around come third quarter, fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. You kind of want to put them out of their misery early in this game. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to jump on them 14-0, 14-3 if you can in the first half. And you're going to see a team that's basically thinking about, you know, fishing, thinking about being on the beach somewhere with a mask on, of course, but still, you know, right. I mean, they're still thinking about their vacation with me, but they will lay down at that point. Mm-hmm. But if they take you into that fourth quarter, well into it, oh yeah, they're trying to make you now go on vacation, and that's not what Washington needs. So they kind of have to jump on them early and just take the game to them and not hold anything back. It's the last game, you know. This isn't the game to just deke and dunk. You got to take some shots down the field. Hopefully McLaurin's out there, which I think he will be.
I was going to ask you that. How important is it for him to be there, man?
I think they rested both them guys just for this.
Okay.
I truly believe that they were trying to catch lightning in a bottle last week to see if they can steal one.
Okay.
Even with Dwayne, and they saw, no, they can't. They had an opportunity still. They still right there. Ironically, they fight to the very end. But if you have adequate quarterback play, you win this football game. You would have won last week's football game, and you probably would have won the Seattle game as well.
True. I agree. So I'm going to mention one wide receiver before I let you go, because this wide receiver needs to be talked about. This Cam Sims, because you mentioned he could have won the football game, had an opportunity to win the football game, and I talked about this early. You know he plays hard. You want to give him credit because he does play hard. But there's something about being 50-50. It's just, you know, it just seems like he can make an awesome catch, but he can miss it. He can drop the easiest catch, like the easiest.
And that's always been the story with him. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking with Ike Hilliard, you know, who's a good friend of mine when he was the receivers coach, and he used to say the guy can do everything. He can even play in the slot at his size. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the issues they used to have with him was Jay Gruden wanted him in the slot. Mm-hmm. You know, Callahan didn't. You know, so it was like different things. And you know, but he has the potential, you know, to be a good, really good football player. Just needs to like tighten up on some things, you know. But he dropped two balls last week that really needed to be caught.
Yes.
And they would have been tough catches, nevertheless. But you're an NFL receiver, and if you want to be a good one, you pull those in. We've seen his position mate Terry McLaurin make just ridiculous catches all year long. Yeah. He's had some drops on some, but for the most part, he's a guy that goes out and fights and gets the ball.
It seems like
with Cam, as you said, 50-50 balls thrown up there with a guy on him, he'll come down with the catch. Remember Pittsburgh, he had that great one-hand catch.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing.
But when he's open, sometimes I guess that ball just look a little smaller when you open.
I guess. I feel like he's thinking too hard, man. Like the pass that Heineke threw to him, that was an easy. Like I feel like it's a peewee football catch. Like you catch that one. He floated it. It wasn't like there wasn't any. Like Dwayne rolling out the pocket, that's just a big boy quarter. That's a big boy wide receiver catch. Like that's a catch that's for a true number two wide receiver, possessionary wide receiver that he makes that catch. The one in Dwayne rolled out and threw to him because, I mean, he had some speed on it, but that's an NFL catch. You're supposed to catch that.
And some people were killing me on social media saying that I said it was a decent throw. I mean, it was a decent throw. It wasn't the best throw, but it wasn't horrible.
It wasn't horrible.
So it was an average throw.
But
you got to catch it.
You got to catch it.
And then on the deep post, you got to catch that.
You got to catch that one.
You got to catch
it
that.
It floated to you.
Laid out.
If you float, it wasn't.
Laid out. Mm-hmm. Got to catch it. Mm-hmm.
Like I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, he floated it to you. It's not even it didn't have any Aaron Rodgers velocity. He floated it to you. Dude, you could have caught that with your chest laying out. Like that's how easy a catch it was. Like it wasn't a hard catch. And I'm sitting there thinking like, all right, I know I've been like I've just come around and say like Cam Sims looking like the number two wide receiver. But when I see things like I'm like, bruh.
No, he's not.
Nah, you're not. Like you're not.
Nah, he's not. And that's not to knock him again. Yeah. We're just being real. Mm-hmm. No, they definitely need to draft a number two receiver, a 1B type receiver, mm-hmm. you know, that could really, you know, take this thing to a whole nother level. And they're going to have to draft a quarterback too. The only quarterback in the NFL that I would even contemplate trying to bring here, it won't work. They don't have enough for him, and that's Deshaun Watson.
Oh, that's what you want? I'm different.
It's not going to happen. So my thing is you draft a quarterback and develop your guy. This is a young football team, and you just grow with him.
You wouldn't get a stopgap, dude? You wouldn't get a stopgap quarterback?
I think you have one.
Alex. So you could be Alex. Okay. All right.
I don't know if it's Alex. It might be Kyle.
So you like – all right, honestly. I was going to let you go, but see, this is what you did to me. See, all right, you had to do this to me. All right, so I'm – look, I know everybody's it's illing on Cam. Like, this is the only thing I will say about Cam. I feel like I have to defend Cam. And it's not a black quarterback thing. It's not really – it's just I like Cam.
They missed that boat.
I'm going to tell you about Cam, though. Like, I don't like the negative – press he's getting in terms of how he's playing with New England, because dude, you're asking for this dude to be everything for that team that has nothing. Like Edelman is out.
No, they don't have anything.
They have nothing.
And their system is a little different for him too.
Exactly.
He would have been perfect. Here, listen, you and I have had the conversation. The two things that they're missing, mm-hmm. they could have had. They could have had him cheap.
Cheap.
They could have had Adrian Peterson here.
Yeah.
And they could have had Cam Newton here. And I know we have different conversation going on. If they
I'm telling you. I am telling
We're
you.
We're talking about them being a top seed in the NFC.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
So, But yeah.
It's possible that you could do that next year. Because let's face it, Alex, and I'm not, you know, speaking of knowledge of it, but Alex, it appears that this might be it for him. It just looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so with that being said, Dwayne's not here now.
Yeah.
Kyle Allen is the only guy that has playing experience on the roster. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, Heinicke now will because he got in the game the other day. Mm-hmm. So those could be two guys you bring back. You got Montez, you could bring him back, but, I mean, seriously, are any of those guys dogs?
None. That's what I'm saying. At least if you bring Cam in, you got a dude that has the confidence, and then Ron Verick has a system that he's used to. And then you got Scary Terry.
I wouldn't
Terry.
Be upset with it.
And then you got Scary.
I wouldn't be upset
thank
with
you.
It.
And you got Scary Terry. He could be the Steve Smith for Cam. Like, I'm like.
But you. But are you saying you go get Cam and you still draft a quarterback, though?
I'm getting a quarterback. He's a stop. Like, I don't like any of the quarterbacks in this draft. So I would get Cam for 1 year and then, like, the next.
Whoa, 2022.
I like the quarterback in 2022.
You don't like any quarterback?
No, I don't.
You don't like any.
No, only one. There's only one quarterback I like in this draft. That's the only one.
Who's that?
It's Lawrence, and they're not getting him.
Listen, man, I'm telling
don't
you.
Don't say Zach Taylor.
The kid, Zach Wilson from
Zach
BYU.
Wilson. I knew you were going to say it. Everybody loves him.
And then Kyle Trask from Florida's good.
You like him?
Oh, he's good. He's good.
I would get him over. All right, so this is the thing. This is my issue with Zach Wilson, and I've been blasted. I don't care. I'm cool. I want all the smoke. My issue is competition. Like, I'm cool. I see he got ability. I'm not going to take that away from him. But I would like to see you play against high competition. And when you did play against decent competition this season in Coastal Carolina, and that's saying a lot.
Okay,
you struggled.
Let me throw this at you. Since you went that route.
Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, he played in a Big 12. He sucked though. But yeah, but he's Ohio State.
No. I'm saying he played at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Dropped 50 touchdowns.
Facts.
1 year.
Yeah.
High competition.
Yeah.
That's the Big Ten.
But you know,
but what did he do?
Nothing. But you know, I'm gonna throw this back. He went to what school? And he had what talent around him? He had nothing. But look, I'm starting to understand this. One thing I am starting to understand about, like, Ohio State. Because at first I was wrong about Dwayne. I'll say that first. Like, I was wrong about Dwayne. And usually I'm right about all Ohio State quarterbacks, but I was wrong about Dwayne. Like, for real. So I looked at him like, because I went off of him because what he did to Michigan's defense. Because Michigan defense had a bunch of pros that year. So I was like, okay, this kid could be legit. But you're right, though. I get your point. I'm not knocking your point. I agree with you.
And I'm gonna throw a couple other quarterbacks
right,
at you.
Throw it at
him. Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, he's still
Patrick
good.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, do they even play defense in the Big 12?
That's facts. That's good. No, that's a good point. But they, yeah, that's a good
point. So what I'm saying is, when you say competition, listen, if you out balling and you balling, I don't care if you balling in Pee Wee, you balling out JV, you balling in CYO, you balling wherever. The point is, if you're balling, you're balling. You got potential.
Yeah.
You just got to be coached up.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that I do like about the fact that, you know, a Zach Wilson or maybe even the kid at North Dakota.
I like him. No, I like the kid from North Dakota.
So Trey Lance.
I like him.
So what I'm saying is,
I do like him.
They kind of come in with an extra chip on their shoulder.
No, I hear you.
People are wondering how competitive they are. Are they really that good? As opposed to you coming from a top flight program. And you already feel like you've arrived just because you came from there. Yeah.
No, the thing about, like, Eva, it's like Baker, like those dudes, when they play, I guess it depends when you, like, if they play against an SEC squad, right? Like Kyler Murray, when he played against, when he went to the bowl and played against I think he played against Bama that year. I want to say he played against Bama. It's just that he still looked good. Like, I'm cool when you, I like something about the Lance kid. Like, when you don't lose a football game, I'm already fixated on that. Like, that gets me. Like, a whole different, like, – because that means you're dominant. That means you gotta drive. You got a will to win. So, it's like even, like, with Carson Wentz was the same way. Now he's digressed this year, but he was the same way in college. It just I just want to see more of the Wilson kid. I ain't gonna lie, I want to see more of the Wilson kid. Cause I'm not gonna knock if they draft him.
That kid, nice.
They draft him. It's all good, man. Hey, man.
And I think that they could have a quarterback. I think one of these guys could come in right away.
And start? You think they gonna start all the vet? Oh my God.
Well, it depends on who the vet is. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It depends on who it is. Yoda and all these other guys. I wouldn't do that. I would draft a quarterback and develop him.
And develop him,
though. You got a young team and you got a defense here.
That's the truth. That's the thing, though. Yeah, that's the thing.
Listen, they can already get Ioannidis back, man.
That's what I'm saying. Man. And they got a decision to make with Jonathan Allen. Like, it is so much. I agree with you in this aspect because I feel like the way you set your team up is the way. If you set your team up defensively, you want a certain type of quarterback, right? Because you don't want a quarterback who's going, you know, they may give you yardage, but they may start throwing picks. That doesn't help a defense set up and built like what Washington has. So it's just going to be interesting to see who they decide to bring in, because you typically don't have like a gunslinger with a dominating defense. It doesn't really work.
Kyle Trask. See, Murray's who I want.
Yeah.
But I think as far as the dynamic of the team and what you're saying, I agree with you.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, play off your defense.
Yeah.
Then you want Trask. Mm. You want a big, physical, Josh Allen type quarterback.
Yeah,
for that.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what he is. And he's from somebody that I think he's playing himself into the first round.
But definitely
early second.
Mm-hmm.
Right there for you. What about Bama quarterback?
You don't like Bama quarterback?
I like him too, Mac Jones. I like him quite a bit as well. Mm-hmm. He's very similar to Kyle Trask. I just Kyle Trask got some dog in him, man. He reminds me of Josh Allen. Yeah. He really does. Yeah. So yeah.
I know who I want if they fall to him, even as a quarterback. I want the Florida tight end. I think he's an animal. I think he's a guaranteed star.
He's a guaranteed star. the only reason why I'm not pressing for him, don't get me wrong, he's special, is because I just think Logan Thomas has played well enough to get that job.
You do need
a second tight end though. You need a backup. but for them, I think that their two most pressing needs is they need a quarterback and they need another wide receiver.
Yeah, and a linebacker. They need linebackers.
Yeah, no, they do. That defense isn't that bad. So
I know, as
far as that linebacker, and then maybe they hope Reuben Foster can come around.
Yeah, I hope.
I mean, me personally, you know, I like Michael Parsons, you know, because that's what we do. That we are. Mm-hmm. You already know.
Mm-hmm.
They can get Michael Parsons to be the middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. That'd be phenomenal.
Yeah.
But they need to. I think they need to make the first 3-4 rounds of this year's draft about their offense, because that's what's been hindering them.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, I mean, I was hoping they got AG Antonio Gandy-Golden involved, so we could see what he can
work.
Do.
Yeah, he needs some work. He does.
He needs some work.
I mean, he does. He needs some work. He needs work. He's not ready yet. And when I say not ready, I mean talking about to be a big contributor.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got talent.
Yeah.
But he needs a full off season, you know, training camp, mini camp, stuff like that.
I'm hoping he does. Hope he gets that, man. But Lake, man, appreciate you for being on as always, man. Let our listeners know about your podcast, and please plug any social media you want to, my man.
Yeah, they can check out the podcast. It's After Practice with Lake Lewis on all the major platforms. And then also on social media, you can follow me on Twitter at Lake Lewis, on Instagram and Facebook, Lake Lewis Jr. And then, of course, sportsjourney.com. You can check out all the good work there and great podcasts like this one that I'm on right now with you.
Oh, my God. Look at that plug, man. Look at you, man. Look at you. I appreciate the love, my man.
That's what's up.
My God. Hey, Lake, man, appreciate you being on, man. You stay blessed.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you later.
All right. All right, man. Again, that was Sports Journeys Lake Lewis Jr. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Lake Lewis. Again, at Lake Lewis. All right, man. Appreciate you all for listening to the Urban Sports. And we went overtime. I didn't make my week 17 NFL picks. I'm sorry about that. Apologize. I really do. But, you know, you can find our picks on the Football Garbage Time website at www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's week 17. We got our Urban Sports Scene versus Football Garbage Time Challenge. Will T is in second place. Ray is in sixth place. I have dropped all the way to seventh place. You know what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. I tried to get all risky because I wanted to catch up. I was in fifth place. I was trying to catch up. I wanted to get to third, second, and made a lot of like wild picks. And I had a bad week. It is what it is. So, that's why. That's why I dropped. The homie George is in third place. And George, like, part of the crew, so we good. Good job, good job, George. And my man Hakun Wong, part of Football Garbage Time, he's in first place. Also, tweet us. Excuse me, sorry. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. Search the Urban Sports Scene. You can also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. And make sure you check out Sports Journey at sportsjourney.com for all your DMV sports content. Man, again, thank you all for listening to us, to the Urban Sports Scene. We went overtime. Appreciate you. You know we love you. But anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. A mega. Lead us out, big homie. Sorry, and I forgot. Let me not do that. Happy New Year. I guess 2021. That's the next time you're going to listen to us. So I'm going to say Happy New Year now. All right. Now, Mega, lead us out, big homie.